Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bill Polian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
You smiling?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football. Football's fun.
Fun, sir.
Fun, sir.
It's fun.
Yes.
You sure?
I think.
Now you're thinking. First you smile, then you think. You think football is still fun?
Yes.
Sir.
Yes, no.
No?
Sir. It was fun.
Not anymore, though, is it? Is it?
No, not by
now. No, it's not fun anymore. No. Not even a little bit.
No.
Make up your mind.
No, no.
Think, since you're thinking. Now go on, think.
No,
is
no.
it fun?
No, sir.
No.
No, sir.
Absolutely not?
Zero fun, sir.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I can guarantee you there isn't a bum on the street that looks as raggedy and ridiculous as what I'm looking at right now. This is no democracy. It is a dictatorship. I am the law.
Paul Perillo.
And I noticed that he wears those leopard-spotted underwears, bikini style, sir.
And Andy. And Andy?
Think you got a future in football?
Andy Hart.
Oh, heck no. I just figure if I got to be in school, I might as well hit some people while I'm at it.
And while I'm excited about my future at Dighton Rehoboth.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
Does the term cruel and unusual punishment mean anything to you?
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
You got anger, that's good. You got aggression, that's even better. You're going to need that too. But any little two-year-old child can throw a fit. Football is about controlling that anger, harnessing that aggression into a team effort to achieve perfection. We will be perfect. Let's go to work.
All right, let's go to work. PFW in Progress. And we got a big show coming up, guys. We just learned that live in studio, we're going to have Alex Smith.
Big morning for Andy, because I just talked to Alex Smith for 15 minutes in the media workroom with the rest of the media, and another meeting now.
Well, good. So you've warmed them up, and you know the questions to ask.
So I was the fluffer, so to speak.
You're like the green room, you know. So we'll have him any moment. He'll be coming in.
And I like him.
A lot of
very
things,
nice guy.
A lot of things to talk about. Obviously, the big news coming out yesterday, Jason Taylor has decided to return to the Dolphins and finish his career without a Super Bowl ring. So
which
that's
means
his choice.
Only one thing, Fred.
What?
Vince Red is going to have double-digit sacks this
well,
year.
Well, we'll talk about what's going on with the outside linebacker position for the Patriots. But Jason Taylor, the headline, he will retire without a Super Bowl ring. And that's his choice.
You know, he happened to go to the team that won the division last year.
Oh, that's fine. You're gonna settle for winning divisions? Good. Okay, we win championships. That's what we settle on. That's what our
Funny,
goals
I thought
are.
We had the offseason.
That's what
that
our
was
goals
long.
Are. We're looking for guys that are willing to, you know, do what's necessary to win championships. Okay?
He made him, in all seriousness, he made a mistake when he left Miami. He realized it and did whatever he could to get back there.
Fine.
His
fine.
Agent said there were no negotiations. Well, it was always that's going fine. To be Miami.
That's fine. You know, when he retires next year, he can be a dad and sit around Miami. Right now, he's a football player, and he chooses not to be a championship football player, but that's fine.
The Patriots well, if he wanted to be a championship football player, he would have gone and played in the 3-4 in Pittsburgh.
The Patriots will be just fine without him. All right, but anyway.
I extend my streak, however.
What's that?
Of incorrect predictions.
Yeah, you were really wrong on this one. Not only did he not sign with the Patriots, there was never a single chance he was going
to
sign
yeah,
with the Patriots.
I am completely wrong. I don't believe for a second the Patriots never made him an offer, by the way. I don't believe
Who
that
said
at
they
all.
Didn't? Everything I read said they did.
Been written in the papers. Never made him a contract offer.
The story I read,
written
which
the
quoted
the Globe today.
That's the spin
well,
now.
The story the spin. I read, which quoted the agent, said that the Patriots offered more money.
Yes. That's,
and generally, when I read a story and an agent is quoted and elsewhere there are facts, I assume that the writer got the facts from the agent. So
the
I believe the facts to be that the Patriots offered him more money and he chose, as Fred said, to not win a championship and go to Miami.
The Globe wrote, this was the expected outcome, which obviously I disagree
right.
with because I was expecting him to come here. I was wrong.
Paul, I'm right with you.
And not only
I thought
that,
by training
yeah,
camp,
I thought
he'd be here.
No, I thought mini camp. I thought
your timeline was good
around the middle of June. Yeah,
your timeline was good. I mean, yeah. He was going to be with a team. It's just the wrong one.
Yeah. No, and you had said, Andy, that you weren't sure that it was going to work out in Miami because you didn't see Parcells completely doing a 180 that fast. And that made some sense.
I'm stunned.
That made some sense.
That's the one part I find really stunning.
So Bill obviously was able to put that past him, which is smart for him because that's what Belichick would do. He wouldn't let the personal get in the way of business. And obviously Parcells didn't either. You know, Belichick doesn't make decisions based on
right.
on you know, his personal dealings or whatever, just like the whole Ty Law situation. I'm sure there were other cornerbacks that he would have rather have been dealing with than one who called him a liar.
Right.
But he understood that was the best interest of the team, and he put that aside, and they moved on. I think Parcells has done the same with Jason Taylor.
The only question is on the field. We talked about this in your office yesterday.
He's not that good.
No. Taylor aside, he is good. My guess is he'll play and be productive.
Wasn't that good last year.
But the Dolphins have Joey Porter, who had 17 and a half sacks last year, and they signed a guy, Cameron...
the guy from Canada.
CFL, a defensive end outside linebacker type from Canada, and they gave him a little bit of money. I mean, he's from Canada, so it wasn't a huge contract, but they gave him a little money. So I just wonder, and they have the other guy that you and I liked, Matt Roth,
yeah.
who went from D-line to outside linebacker and is a beast of a build. I just wonder, bodies-wise, how it's going to unfold for them. And remember, Porter, his career was kind of over when he was still playing with Taylor. Like, he wasn't playing that well. He wasn't being productive. Then all of a sudden, Taylor leaves. Porter says, well, they set me free. They let me loose.
He went
well,
to
are you
going to
be loose again, or are you going to be back to constrained?
Yeah, I don't think Taylor's going to play much.
He might not. He might be a situational player at this stage of his career, Fred.
Yeah. Even that, I wanted that here. I wanted the situations to be in a Patriots uniform.
Yeah, no, I did too.
But I've turned the corner. Clearly, Bill believes, based on what Nick Caserio said last night and everything, that Pierre Woods can play first and second down. He's your run stopper, your edge setter. And then Sean Crable or Vince Red comes in and double-digit sacks and passing downs.
Yeah, I have Crable. Andy has Red.
Okay.
Andy is seeing Red. I'm seeing skinny legs.
I've been seeing Red since.
I'm taking Woods.
No, Woods is the yeah. early down guy. Yeah.
Okay.
I have my doubts about whether he can be a impact pass rusher.
Pierre Woods?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't necessarily think, and they've done all right in the past without the prototypical pass rusher. I don't think they need that type of guy. They need solid guy.
And the past is a long past. I
mean,
aside from Vrabel's 12 and a half 2 years ago,
right.
they hadn't had double-digit sacks since Andre Tippett,
and like we
who
said,
walked by my cube today and said, stretched his shoulders and said, should I suit up? Should I go downstairs and ask him if they need me to rush the passer? And I said, yes.
He can get there.
I told him if he joined the team, he'd be at the top of the depth chart. He's a Hall of Famer.
All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. It's webradio@patriots.com. The phone number is 508-543-7482. And joining us right now is a new member of the Patriots, Alex Smith. Alex, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Welcome
good.
Aboard.
Oh, thank you for having me.
I just met him.
Is he you know,
we just saw each other 5 minutes ago down in a different room.
You guys go way back.
See, Andy does a lot of things. You know.
Yeah, I bounce around. You know, you get a
none of them
the more
well.
You can,
none of them well, mind you.
Belichick says it. The more you can do, you know, you keep your job.
I've been meeting people left and right, so I'm just, you know, trying to make sure I put a name with a face.
Well,
right
anyway,
now.
I'm Fred Kirsch, Paul Perillo,
pleasure to meet
Andy
you,
Andy Hart. In the booth is Doc. Just call him Doc.
All right.
He's all right. So how's it been so far?
So far, so good. You know, definitely excited. Just been out here, you know, just working out and trying to get used to the whole surroundings and teammates and everybody. But so far, so good.
That's good.
Can you sort of tell us a little bit of how you became a Patriot, how the whole process, how much did you know that you were even going to be leaving Tampa Bay? And did you know the Patriots had an interest and how did that all work out?
No, well, I'll start with the first question. You know, I heard the rumors going around that, you know, they were seeking a trade. You know, we had brought a few guys in, free agency this year, over at Tampa. So, I knew, you know, the possibility of me being traded was pretty high. New England kind of came as a surprise. You know, there were some other teams being rumored out there, but, you know, definitely a pleasant surprise to say the least.
Yeah. Now, Tampa Bay, you know, they were known for going through quarterbacks over there. Now you're coming... You're playing with this guy. You've probably seen him on TV, Tom Brady. Have you met Tom? Have you talked with him? Have you even caught a pass from him yet?
I haven't caught a pass yet, but I did have the pleasure of meeting him. You know, just real friendly. Like, everybody here has been pretty welcoming. So, you know, just had a chance to introduce myself and say hello. That's probably the biggest thing I'm looking forward to. You know, I've played with 5-6 quarterbacks since I was
right,
in Tampa.
Right.
And, you know, just to have a franchise quarterback like that, that's a, you know, big – thing I'm looking forward to.
Alex, can you tell the story a little bit, your connection with Daniel Graham? And you even said when I spoke with you earlier that he called you and was more excited than you were when you got traded here.
Yeah, I've known Dan forever. We both grew up in the Denver area. Our dads played together with the Broncos.
Is that right?
Yeah, we've grown up, followed his career, from Thomas Jefferson to, CU to, over here in New England. And, once he found out, I was going to be a Patriot, he was ecstatic. He said, I would love the organization. He said that they do a great job over here, and any way he could help, he's been just leaning all kind of opinions and just offering his services.
That's cool. Now, are you here permanently, or are you going to be going back somewhere after this camp is done right now?
I'm planning on being here. I'm just trying to figure out where I need to locate myself. That's I've just been asking teammates where's the spot to kind of reside in, and I've heard everywhere, so
yeah, you don't want to be at the end zone motel. There's a lot of stories came out of
what's this process like? You're coming to a new team, you're trying to learn a new system, and how does that process work? How difficult is it? We hear a lot about the Patriots system being complicated. You had enough time to sort of gauge that yet?
I'm still in the process of learning. Fortunately, I came from an offense that was pretty intricate with John Gruden's offense.
That's true. So Bill always talks about that.
That part hasn't been as tough, but I kind of compare it to coming in as a rookie, and you're seeing new faces, not knowing anybody, and it's kind of different now because I don't have the other rookies with me. I'm kind of here on my own, but it's just a process. Like I said, guys here have been very welcoming. Been out bowling with Teddy Bruschi already, so guys have welcomed me with open arms. So I definitely appreciate that.
Did you beat him?
Yeah,
he beat me. But I'm trying to get him.
You let him win. He's kind of like a local icon.
I can't beat on him the first day.
But the whole Gruden thing. I don't know if you watched the draft on NFL Network this year, but John Gruden was a commentator, and he had some really nice things to say about Bill Belichick, and it's obviously they've been kind of talking a little bit. I'll bet you, and maybe that Gruden was probably one of the guys that talked to Bill about you and maybe was maybe a factor in why he decided to pull the trigger on you.
Yeah, it's the coaches union over there. Yeah. Everybody knows each other, and I think they may have spoke. But I have nothing but great things to say about Coach Gruden, and it's unfortunate the things went down the way they did, but I'm sure I'll be back on another team probably as soon as next year. And I had a great 4 years with them, and it seems like he was doing all right on the TV show.
Yeah, he was really good. Yeah.
Now, do the players sort of imitate or keep track of all the faces that he makes the way we do?
I'm all used to seeing the angry face. That's the only face I ever see.
You might get that one from Bill occasionally, too. He's got an angry face that can be
scary.
You
think it's as bad as Gruden's, though?
I think it can be worse because you don't see the smile afterwards. It's never the
well. We don't get
a lot of
we don't.
Yeah, well,
get
we
to
don't
see
anyway. We get a lot of frowns in press conferences, depending on what we
ask. I'm sure after wins, he maybe gives the players a little bit more
a little smile.
Yeah.
Now, how do you? You talked about the complexities of John Gruden's offense. This is a pretty complex offense where they do a lot of different things.
Right.
How do you see yourself as you get acclimated to the playbook and the scheme? How do you see yourself fitting in terms of what role you might be able to play?
I really haven't even thought about it. I'm kind of let the coaches take over and, just see and put me in wherever they see fit. My goal right now is just to learn every position I can, just have the offense down so it's not an issue of, putting me in any position.
Are you comfortable, in a traditional tight end in-line blocking? Are you comfortable in motion in the backfield or split wide? Do you feel like you can do all those things?
Yeah, I've had to do all that before, so that's not an issue at all. I've come out the backfield. I've been split out at wide receiver. I'm welcoming anything, really.
Now, you had a couple of touchdowns in your very first game. Did you kind of think you had the whole league licked at that point?
I did. That was a heck of a way to start my career off. And, a lot of my teammates said, it's not going to be this easy every game. And, granted, that was my only two touchdowns of the season. But, it was a great way to start the season and, just trying to keep building off it.
I remember Alex Smith was a very high priority in the fantasy football leagues. People scrambling around to pick this guy up after that first week.
Unfortunately, I didn't see the end zone again that year, but I still got a couple points in there.
Do you have any funny stories? Obviously, there's another Alex Smith who ended up in San Francisco, quarterback, a lot of notoriety. Is there ever any confusion? Have you ever come across anything where somebody thought you were the quarterback and you weren't?
No, not lately. I'll tell you a story. This is when we were at the Combine. We got confused, and one reason or another, they had my report as having a bad back, so I had to go to the hospital, have an MRI on my back. I was over there 2-3 hours, and I told them I've never had back trouble. And apparently they got it mixed up with me and him, and so
you probably would have liked if the paychecks had gotten mixed up early on.
They could have done that as well. I probably wouldn't have told anybody about that.
Well, Alex, we appreciate you stopping by. I know you guys are busy doing this and that, but it was great for you to stop in the show. We do this every Tuesday and Thursday in the off season. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday during the season. So anytime you want to stop in, you're free to come in.
I appreciate you guys having me.
And you'll see Andy and I, Alex, you know, trolling around the locker room looking for nonsense and sounds stuff like that.
I'll be starting to run the other way.
Do you like fried dough?
I can't say I've ever had
some fried dough. You want some fried dough?
Is that a Massachusetts thing?
Do you go to carnival?
It's like a carnival thing. Traveling carnivals have.
Yeah, I've been to a carnival.
Hold on.
Yeah. Try that out.
Yeah, just.
Fred loves it. He eats it every day.
Just rip off a piece.
That's how he
it's
keeps
really
his
good. It's
you know,
good.
Fred, did you
figure.
Check this with the nutritionist? Because
I don't know if this is on the diet.
I'm not sure that's exactly
just
the best
Just don't tell
thing.
Anyone.
You know, you don't end up with a big belly like me.
One thing we like to do here is eat.
Yeah. Yes.
All right.
Too. No.
Yeah, but you need to
He
keep...
fits in great, doesn't he?
Easy talk.
Pretty good.
Yeah, it's not bad, right?
Remind me of like a sopapilla or something like that.
Yeah,
what?
You guys never had a sopapilla?
Never heard of it, can't say it. Don't know what you're saying.
Nope. Trust me, it's the same thing. It's good, though.
Okay. All right, well, Alex Smith, thank you very much for coming
thank
in.
Thank you, Alex.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks
All
for
right.
coming.
All right.
Okay, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Saturday, May 30th, Boston-based band Lansdowne comes to Gillette Stadium for an exclusive pregame party before the New England Revolution take on conference rivals DC United.
So I've got this story. Not too long ago, September brought love songs, November came.
The party kicks off at 5:30 p.m. with an exclusive set from Lansdowne. Appearances by the Rev Girls, important and domestic beers with discounted food, capped off by two bitter rivals facing off on the field. Limited quantity of tickets are available for just $35. This ticket gets you access to the pregame party, a seat in the fort for the game, and a limited edition Revolution t-shirt. Don't wait. Order yours today by calling 1-877-GET-REVS or log on to revolutionsoccer.net. Lansdowne, the Revolution. The party never stops at Gillette Stadium. Patriot Place in Foxborough is the ultimate shopping, dining, and entertainment destination in New England. What's your Patriot Place experience?
We took the kids to a movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe and finally went to Red Robin. The burgers were amazing. It was so much fun. Everyone loved it.
We had girls' night out at Patriot Place last weekend. A little shopping, dinner at Davio's. It's just like the one in Boston. And we had drinks at the cutest little wine bar called Tastings.
Experience Patriot Place. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day.
Honestly, I'm here about once a week. I always find great deals at Christmas Tree Shop and Old Navy. And the shoes at Off-Broadway are unbelievable.
Patriot Place is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough with convenient and free parking.
Bass Pro Shop and Eastern Mountain Sports have everything I need for my camping and hiking trips. And we love CBS Scene Restaurant. They've got about a million TVs, and their outdoor deck looks right into Gillette Stadium. It's so cool.
Log on to patriot-place.com for more information. Patriot Place. Everyone wins. Lacrosse fans, once again, the NCAA Men's Championship is taking place right here in New England. That's right, the NCAA Men's Lacrosse Championship, the only NCAA event that includes all three divisions, will take place at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough on May 23rd, 24th, and 25th, 2009. Lacrosse is the fastest growing sport in the United States, and Gillette Stadium will once again be the home of the championships. This is an NCAA event you don't want to miss. Fans from all over the country will descend upon Foxborough to watch this exciting once-in-a-lifetime event. Order your tickets today while seats are still available. Log on to www.lax2009.com. That's lax2009.com or order through Ticketmaster. May 23rd, 24th, and 25th, Gillette Stadium in Foxborough. It's the 2009 Men's Lacrosse Championship. If you love lacrosse, this is the one sports event you don't want to miss.
Paul Perillo prides himself on being the old-timer of the PFW crew.
Going back to the 40s of Paul.
Well, let's face it, it's actually Andy who makes fun of Paul for being an old-timer. But just because he was born in the 40s or something, it doesn't exactly mean Paul has all the answers. In fact, it seems like just about everything Paul's come up with, he didn't come up with.
I was going to say he's rated the way he should be, too. I was going to say, I read something. This is what I was going to say, just on this topic.
I agree with that wholeheartedly.
That's the way I was going to say. That's probably on mission statement right there.
I was going to say, you know why it is.
What's the matter, Paul?
No, I was going to say it was before 85, so. I was going to say that, but I don't even know.
Jeez, Paul, what do you know? We're not sure if you ever had an original thought, and even that your catchphrases might be stolen. Right, Eddie Mac?
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
No, I'm very upset. I offer Alex Smith fried dough. He's never had it before, and it's probably the worst fried dough ever made. No offense to Pizzeria Grandi, but it's not been out of the oven too long. It's crisp. You want your fried dough moist and chewy. You know, this is like a Ritz cracker, for crying out loud.
Well, it's like a sopapilla.
Well, whatever sopapilla is, if that's what he thinks a sopapilla is, that's not fried dough, because this is not good fried dough, and I apologize to Alex Smith for that. But that was good.
That was very good.
Yeah.
Some good little nuggets there. He's been bowling with Teddy Bruschi.
I like him already. Seems like a nice guy.
I really like him.
Yeah.
He does seem like a very nice guy. And, I mean, he's a smart guy out of Stanford, was productive early in his career, had some injuries, and obviously, as he said, five or six quarterbacks to play with. That doesn't help an offense. I'm intrigued by what he could be.
Yeah.
You know, he mentioned it when we talked to him down the hall a little bit. When you look at this offense, all the weapons they have, it's intriguing when you're a player within that in terms of Moss and Welker making plays and Brady and those things. You know, we've always said, oh, Daniel Graham should be, I mean, Ben Watson should be able to take advantage of that middle of the field and the defense and everything. Maybe Alex Smith can do it. Maybe he can have a career resurgence.
Yep.
And I think you're right, Fred. My guess is that he got the John Gruden stamp of approval from John Gruden to Bill Belichick, and that was the kind of final straw to get the trade done.
Well, the last guy that had a very strong stamp of approval from an ex-coach of a team was Nick Saban giving Wes Welker the stamp of approval, told Bill Belichick, you got to get this guy. And that worked out pretty well. So I like that.
If this works out as well as that did, this offense is going to be really good.
What do those two players have in common?
I don't know.
Wes Welker and Alex Smith.
Don't tell me. I'm going to think.
I don't really think it's all that cryptic.
They're both in the offense.
And they've both appeared
on this show.
Hey,
we do make stars. Well,
we do,
except for Tyrone McKenzie. Sorry about that, Ty.
Hey, listen.
Well, he wasn't live. He wasn't in the studio.
That's true.
Castle Welker studio
guests. In studio guests go on to great, great things.
Well, let's think about that.
Oh,
because the only people we've had as guests in studio.
Well, look what we did for the guy from Fox. You know, Howie Long. Look what we did for him.
We got him in the
Hall of
Fame.
Well, I was going to say.
A nice little player.
Howie Long, Andre Tippett, and John Hanna are all Hall of Famers.
Right.
Wes Welker is a future Hall of Famer based on his last two-year sampling. And Matt Cassel's getting paid almost $15 million this year. That's a pretty good company to be in.
We've had some
Alex
others.
Smith, 68 receptions in the Pro Bowl. I'm stamping it as a guarantee.
Yeah, just as long as the powers that be don't realize that he just spent some time with us here in PFW in Progress. Right. You know, I don't want to put his roster spot in jeopardy. Or
I can just see him going back to the, hey, Coach, those guys on the radio show said I could go by any time. He's like, oh, no, you can't.
they were really nice.
Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address, webradio at Patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. I got to shout out to Doc here because last night at Gillette Stadium, we had the high school football combine for Massachusetts. We had about 400 juniors come in and 30 college scouts went and, you know, brought them through the reps, all the stations, weightlifting, the whole thing. Huge success, but part of that success was Doc up in the booth playing the music. Just the right volume, perfect volume.
Good entertainment going on.
And making the announcements for people to move around.
Paul Carroll, I heard, did a wonderful job organizing that.
Paul Carroll did a great job. So that was the first of, we hope, an annual event here at Gillette Stadium, Massachusetts High School Football Combine.
Great job. We were telling Andy that we had the mascot on the scooter, too, for him that night. That you missed it last night. You should have been there.
The mascot was really on a scooter?
What?
No.
No.
Great job by you, Fred.
Were there any Dartmouth Indians in attendance?
I know there was I don't know specifically. I saw Dighton Rehoboth, and I saw a lot of.
I saw other schools that began with D.
Yeah.
Yeah. He goes, I know. I don't. Nah. What?
There were. I'm sure there was somebody from Dart. Well, maybe
but
not.
But Fred, that was a that was a huge undertaking.
What did you just say? Let's back it up for a minute, though. Let's back this up.
No, no, no. It was a large undertaking, and you put it together.
They don't have very good players. Over the course of the last 2 years, one of their players went on to UConn, where he's now the starting running back and maybe one of the most dynamic players in all of college football. And the tight end just went to the University of Georgia. You know, the Georgia, they just take dime a dozen athletes.
Yeah, he's drawing comparisons to Reggie Bush at USC. Jordan Todman.
So they had a couple good players over the last.
They have put a couple of guys.
Donald listen, Brown.
They've put a couple of guys in Division I over the last 2 years, and not a lot of schools crank out Division I players year after year in Massachusetts.
No, no, they don't. So anyway, so
screw you, Kirsch.
But it was a great, great event, and
uppity private school snob.
I was very pleased with that.
That's true.
Mussar is a Varian.
I was very pleased with it.
Well,
don't have to pay to go to Dartmouth, and you still end up with a scholarship.
It's very still in limbo.
And you took photos for me.
Until I can find out how I'm going to pay for it. There's no Zavarian.
Oh, I thought you just paid for it with that combine last night,
yeah.
No?
No. That money all goes to the Shriners, every dollar of it.
I know that. I was being silly.
Every dollar?
Every dollar. Nobody makes a penny on that.
So it sounds like it was good.
Yeah.
If you could just add the vertical jump to it, it'd be a real combine.
Maybe next year. All right, webradiopatriots.com. Jason Taylor thing. So we're left with
you're really
Pierre
upset
Woods.
About that, aren't you? Because you have all your little sarcastic remarks that you threw
Paul, you
the
had
first
guaranteed to people that he was going to be a Patriot,
and I was wrong. Listen, you guys should be used to it by now.
We are, but you still built up hopes.
I did. I thought he was.
How
coming.
Many SPFWs did we get that say "What now?" Question mark.
I know.
I mean, there was literally a dozen of them.
I was wrong. What can I tell you? I
now,
can't,
Fred, do you buy
I
into?
I can't spin this one.
You are a big believer in there's always guys available, yep. And there's a lot. And that is the tune that Nick Caserio was spinning last night at the speaker series at the Hall at Patriot
right.
Place presented by Raytheon.
Right.
Whew. Do you buy into that? I mean, sure, there are always players available, but sometimes they're Doug Gabriel and Delph O'Neill. I'm looking for Jason Taylor. I'm looking for a guy that can be a positive impact on my team.
They've gone that route, and they've had mixed results with that
right.
route.
And that's going to happen. But I guarantee you, if they think that they can upgrade, and they might be wrong whether it turns out to be that, but if there's a move to be made and they think it's a good move, they'll make it.
No, I know that. But do you think they're going to be able to make a move that'll be an upgrade that'll help them? Because I have my doubts about the linebacking core as currently constituted. I think there are some serious questions.
Well,
there.
Obviously we all do. That's why we've been watching.
Well, not obvious. Bill Belichick might not. He might think that Pierre Woods is a
legitimate.
Well,
then why would they have offered something to Jason Taylor? They
because
did.
Of what you just said. If you can make it better,
right.
you do it.
Right.
But he may believe that he has a starter in Pierre Woods, a pass-rushing specialist in Sean Crable, and Gary Guyton's good enough to rotate with. He may think that he has a stacked depth chart.
And
he might not look
more,
at it like we do.
Perhaps more importantly, he viewed Jason Taylor as an upgrade.
Right,
but
that's what
nobody,
I mean. Just
but
said
nobody
that.
Else out there right,
right.
now, he might not,
right.
he might not
well,
view that
the
way.
The problem with
and
what they
with
have,
him.
Other than Pierre Woods, who we did see some things from, I don't have any idea how good Sean Crable can be. I really don't. You know, aside from the skinny legs.
I didn't say anything.
I don't know. Oh, I'm just talking about me. I don't know. He could be really good, but I have no way of
I'm
really
looking,
knowing
I'm
that.
Looking for him to be a real contributor in the rotation this
we
year.
Know
he better be.
We know he's got flat-out good speed for a man his size. He's,
well, we
he's
know he fits
fast.
Bill's thing that none of this year's did.
6'4", right. 6'5",
6'4",
4'6".
It's one of those anagrams. Or, no. Palindrome.
You know,
palindrome.
But unless you're just going to have him rush the passer, there's more to it in this system. You know, that's not all they
well,
ask
but
of that
not,
player.
I'm not even just talking
about rushing the passer. I'm just going off his career, what I saw at Michigan. That's why I like him. He didn't just do that, and he didn't just do that in the preseason.
He was
he
a good
played.
Tackler.
Yeah, he's a good player.
He breaks down well.
I'm not having the discussion
what?
With you.
I'm just
you
asking.
You can't be taken seriously.
You can't be.
I'm very disappointed in the fried dough.
Yeah, this sucks.
Yeah.
As Andy has a half a wedge in his mouth.
We have a lot of emails. I
didn't
even
say
know
I wouldn't eat
begin.
It.
Oh, we have somebody on the phone?
John, call back later.
Sorry, John.
Just kidding.
Wait, hold
John
on.
John in Dallas.
Oh, John in Dallas. John, how you doing?
I'm doing well, guys. How you doing?
Great.
What's up, Johnny boy?
Hey, John.
Johnny boy. Okay. So, yeah, this I got a couple questions for you, well, actually a statement. I think the Alex Smith acquisition was really nice. The question is who's going to be the odd man out? I don't know if the Pats can carry four tight ends. At least I don't think they will.
They probably won't.
Well, I think you could if you don't carry a fullback. You don't have Heath Evans.
Well, that's a good point because you've got Hochstein. So.
No, well, you use one of these tight ends.
That wasn't the point I made, so don't try to make that into the point I made.
The point is you use one of the tight ends as kind of a hybrid, fullback, H-back type, you know, and that's Andy asked the question of Alex Smith when he was here, do you have, you know, experience playing as a traditional inline tight end? Have you gone in motion, out of the backfield, split out?
That was a good question.
Doing a lot of different things, and that's some of the stuff that Bill talked about when we made the acquisition back, what was it, right after the draft, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And Bill had talked about that, all the different things that Alex Smith has experience doing. So I think you could use four. You could keep all four of them. Who's the odd man out if they don't? I got to go with Thomas. Just, you know, I think that's the obvious. But, you know, you can't discount Watson being in the last year of his contract. And maybe they're looking to go in a different direction.
Interesting story on Fox Sports, maybe. Ranked NFL tight ends. Best tight ends in the National Football League. Where do you think Ben Watson ranked?
10th.
7th.
11th. But higher than I thought he would be.
People outside of here, I think, again, it's like the Ellis Hobbs thing. You know, they.
I think you got your answer on the Ellis Hobbs thing when he got traded.
For two
fifth-round picks.
Of what we think of him. But I'm talking about
of what the league thinks of him. That's what he was worth.
I think that Watson... You know, you see that highlight he did in Denver where he chased down, you know, Champ Bailey. And, you know, what you see of Ben Watson shows some real scary, you know, athletic ability.
Battle of the Network Stars, he's great.
Right, and people outside of here, that's what they see. They don't see the drop balls because that doesn't show up on ESPN, you know?
Right.
So, anyway, who did the ranking?
I forgot. But I was, to me... If I were putting together ranking, I would think I could come up with more than 10 guys that I would rather have than Ben Watson.
Well, I think that's a hard position to do because...
Different teams use them different
no
ways.
No question.
And you don't really know how well guys do at the other way, you know, the traditional blocking style. I don't think a lot of us know.
But Daniel
enough.
Graham was almost unanimously anointed one of the best blockers in the league.
Right. So what I'm saying is if you know that... Do you put him ahead of a guy who
I'd put him ahead of Watson.
Who is okay at that? Or
I think
okay
Daniel Graham was a better player than
Ben
Watson.
I do too, but I've always felt like that, and I always felt like Daniel Graham was my binky.
The only thing I had against Daniel Graham is he was a complete and utter bust as a first-round pick and a playmaking tight end.
I would agree with that. He certainly didn't live up to his first-round
pick. But I'm just saying, like, we saw guys last year that I think I'd put ahead of Watson in rookies and young players, John Carlson, Dustin Keller, and who's the Raiders tight end? They have a young tight end that I like. Zach Miller.
Yeah.
I like him, too. All three of those guys made plays against Patriots. And just look, you know, it's small sampling.
John Carlson, you said, too?
The Seattle kid. Yeah. Liked him. Heath Miller. And I'm not even going by big-name guys like the All-Pros.
Well,
Heap and Witten and Gonzalez. So I think I could come up with more than 10 guys that are better than
Clark.
Ben Watson. Yeah. I mean, we just listed like 8-9 guys off the top of our head.
Yeah, well, he was listed 11th.
He's not that good. He's not an elite blocker, and he can't catch. So how's the 11th best tight end in the league?
Middle-of-the-road guy.
Yeah,
well, that's about
lower.
Where 11 is, you know.
I think 11 is the top third. I mean, there's 32 teams
but
in the league.
Barely. You're right on the edge there.
Matt Light is a better tackle than Benjamin Watson is a tight end.
I'm sorry, John. What was that? Andy was yapping.
Yeah, sorry, I think the 11th ranking is a little bit generous.
I agree, too,
but, you know, what should he be? 14th?
Right.
15?
I bet you there's teams with backup tight ends that are better than him.
Anyways,
there's another one, by the way, that's better than him.
I think
there's going
to be competition heading into camp in the tight end position. Now, switching to the defensive side, you guys seem pretty, well, I don't know if confident is the right word, but you seem fairly confident in Red and Crable's ability. The thing is, both, if you look at their numbers, both are pretty fast, right?
Yes.
Red puts up like 4.5 and Crable does like 4.6, something like that.
Yes.
But if you look at their strength, it really surprises me. Red, a guy who's 6'6", 260, he's only putting up 225 13 times.
Wouldn't surprise you if you saw him with his shirt off.
that's extremely weak.
Built like a 13-year-old girl on top.
He doesn't look like he has a lot of upper body strength, and I would hope that that's one thing that he really worked on in the offseason, was try to develop that upper body. And the other guy, Crable, is the opposite. I think he is put together
up top, but has the really small frame and the small hips that Andy and Fred talk about all the time. Really not thick at all in the lower torso, and the legs are skinny.
We got to chop that up, that little segment up. We can get a lot out of that one.
And one guy with chicken wings.
Yep.
Yeah. So if we
morph them together, they could be a great outside linebacker.
I want to put the brakes a little bit on how optimistic we are. I think cautiously optimistic would more accurately portray how we feel about Crable and Red.
We turned the page.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm disappointed.
Taylor,
I'm not going to be one of these guys that says, "Oh, I didn't want him anyway." After the fact, I wanted Taylor. I wish the Patriots could have gotten him, but they didn't, and now they have to move on with what they have.
And they couldn't, by the way. We can't blame the team. They clearly
made the right call.
I wanted a guy who wanted to win a championship. Now that I know he doesn't want to, I don't want him.
But the Patriots, in this case, there is absolutely no blame whatsoever with the Patriots because they went after the guy early and they went after the guy late. They made a couple of separate runs at him. The guy decided to stay home. And sometimes it's hard to compete with that.
And it's hard to – this place isn't for everybody.
It's like the Eagles. Okay?
Winners wanted the T-shirt
winners
they used
wanted.
To have.
You got that right.
The Eagles went after Randy Moss last year. They had a big need at wide receiver. They made an aggressive push at Randy Moss, and Randy Moss decided to stay here. This is where he wanted to be. He was more comfortable. I can't blame Andy Reid for that.
And look how bad the Packers were, how much they went after Randy Moss.
No, my point is when the Eagles did – I can't criticize the Eagles.
Right.
If I'm an Eagles fan last year, they offered more money than the Patriots ended up giving him.
Yep.
They made an aggressive push right at the stroke of midnight on the start of free agency. It just didn't work out. He wanted to stay with Brady.
Derek Mason coming here.
And Taylor wanted to stay to Miami to be closer to his family.
Derek Mason's wife didn't want to come here, so he didn't come here, even though it was more money.
So I think the Patriots did everything right in this situation. Just didn't work out.
Yeah, I know. I agree with you guys. But, what's interesting, I thought, was Caserio's comments. I think you guys touched on it a little bit.
Yep.
I think the Patriots have a lot of flexibility if there are other teams willing to deal, right? I mean, could there be a trade brewing somewhere down the line, right? I guess if you could kind of sit around and wait till a guy...
I wouldn't rule anything out.
But, could you actually go target somebody at outside linebacker, potentially using some of your 2010 draft picks to do it, or a player or two?
Sure, but, I mean,
who
doesn't mean it's going to be
person?
Easy. Oh, I have no idea who... I mean, they could be targeting – I mean, it could run the gamut. It could be somebody who's a proven playmaker, or it could be a Mike Vrabel type or somebody that they see buried on another team's depth chart that they think is better than what they have. But I agree with Fred. I wouldn't rule it out, but I also don't think you count on that to come in and all of a sudden we're going to have a guy with 12.5 sacks. I think that's a little rosy.
I don't think you'll need a guy to produce 12.5. I mean, it'd be nice, right? But –
well, it depends how good you...
Thomas, if he continued what he started last year before he got hurt, he put up 9 or 10 sacks last year. You've got another guy on the other side putting up, 5 or 6. I think you're in pretty good shape.
Depends how good your secondary is. Depends on whether they're good enough to get by with an adequate pass rush or they need a very good pass rush.
That was my point about the rush last year. I don't think it was very strong. They had 31 sacks on the season. I don't think it was a great part of their defense. But I don't think it was the big problem with the third down defense. I think that they couldn't cover anybody, and I think that it was hard for the pass rush at times to get there. I'm not blaming it all on the secondary, but I think the bigger problem to me was the coverage, not the pass rush.
But to me the problem was you knew the secondary was going to suck. We knew going into the year, and we said the front seven will do enough to take the pressure off.
Right.
They didn't.
Well, that's what we hoped.
They didn't step up their
game. That's what we hoped going in.
And they didn't.
What it turned out is they were so bad covering, they couldn't do anything out of the box. They couldn't do any blitzing. And it wasn't until the last four games where Bill just said, hey, it's do or die here. I either stop this third down or we're not going to make the playoffs. And he starts sending Brandon Merriweather on safety blitzes in Seattle to save the season. That, to me, was the difference.
Yeah, but sometimes
you need to
get
there with four
guys.
Cover anybody. And that was a great example. If, for whatever reason, if Brandon Merriweather had been knocked off his stride, even by the slightest bit, that would have been a touchdown.
Right.
Because the guy was wide, Brandon.
But sometimes
Brandon,
you need to
Deion
get
Branch
there with
was wide
four
open.
Guys. You need to just have four guys rush and actually get to the quarterback.
But that's what I'm saying. I'm not.
I don't think they were very good at that. Last
I'm not
year.
Taking the pass rush off the hook. I just don't think 31 is that low of a number, considering how little they were able to blitz, how little they were able to not get there with just the four guys. That's all their sacks came like that. Virtually all of their sacks came in conventional ways until, like I said, the very end of the season. Bill, I think, just said,
Yeah. I'm going to die with my boots on here. This is do or die. We have to find something.
This wasn't 07 where they had 31-point leads and, you know, Pierre Woods would pick up or Jarvis Green would pick up three sacks at the end of the game.
I'm not taking them off the hook. Mike Vrabel did not have a big
season.
The front
seven is well paid and has some pretty impressive resumes.
But how many more sacks
did
he had
Ellis Hobbs, who we all thought stunk.
But how many more sacks did he was Richard Seymour supposed to come up with is my point.
But it's not just Richard Seymour. I don't. Adalys Thomas suddenly had this great year last year. He didn't get hurt. He would have been an all-pro 17-sack guy.
This isn't the type of 3-4 that Pittsburgh is with the zone blitzes and the red.
Yes, I know that.
They don't do that kind of stuff.
They didn't get any pressure. They did not get enough pressure.
I think they got pressure.
I don't think it was good. I'm not saying that it was good. I'm saying I think the bigger reason they didn't get the pressure was because they couldn't cover anybody. And the one that stands out in my mind for that is the Miami.
Who expected them to cover anybody?
The first Miami. Well, what you're expecting, you're hoping that the front seven can cover up for it, and they couldn't.
If the front seven wasn't as good as they were, they wouldn't have been 11-5.
But if we go into a game and the Patriots passing offense, Randy Moss has two catches for 15 yards, and Ben Watson has one for 10, we're saying, well, Watson had a Watson game, Moss didn't.
Right.
That's how I look at the pass rush and the secondary. The secondary would be Ben Watson. I had low expectations for them. I didn't think they were going to be good, and they weren't good.
While we were here, while I've been here, I don't remember any season, except for Vrabel's 12.4, where we've had known as a sack defense.
Oh, they've had in the 50s. They've had a couple of times
and pressures. You have Seymour pushing a tackle back.
You have that one game where McGinnis had five sacks in a game.
No,
where,
I'm talking about seasons. They've had, I bet you if you look back, I'll look at right now as we're talking. Continue. I think
it's
they've
not
had
just
more
about sacks. Don't fixate on the sacks.
Well, that's what we're
fixate
talking
about. Fixate on, does the front
timely,
seven
and in that
help
case,
out the secondary?
And
timely pressure,
yes,
too.
I
they
think
didn't
they
last
do.
Year.
They didn't last year.
I think
year.
If they weren't as good as they were, they wouldn't have been 11-5. They wouldn't have been in some of these games.
Oh, I disagree. I think the front seven was a disappointment. I think Thomas is now getting inflated. People are saying he was
41
he was
and
Joey
01.
Porter numbers. What?
41 and 01, 41 and 03, 45 and 04, and then you go down to 33 and 05.
But how does that compare to the league?
They were 13th last year, so middle of the pack.
Middle of the pack.
44 and 06, 47 and 07.
They're not like Pittsburgh, where three guys have multiple, double figures.
But it doesn't have to be. I don't care who gets them. I just need the pressure to be there.
Right, and I don't even care if there's sacks. Just watch the game. And is the quarterback sitting back and picking you apart, or is he having to make throws in a timely fashion?
And that's the thing. It's like I don't remember a lot of times where quarterbacks had just – ungodly amount of time to just survey the field.
That I agree with.
What would happen is on third down when they needed to stop a third and eight, they just couldn't do it.
Right.
And the guy would complete a 9-yard pass.
I
agree.
Hobbs
would be 4
yards back. I agree with you. There
would
be
a three-step drop. The ball would be out of the guy's hands in a half a second.
Exactly.
That's what I remember more often than not.
The front seven can't do that.
All right. Well, then I don't know why they play. They probably shouldn't pay him all $70 million if we're not going to ask him to do anything.
Why are you taking the Paul Perillo approach?
Because
that's not
he's
like
being
you.
Ridiculous.
At some point, you got to have a pass defense.
You didn't think last year's quarterbacks, they didn't have all day but could do whatever they wanted?
I think they didn't have a lot.
If they did a three-step drop, they had time. If they did a five-step drop, they had time. If they had a seven-step drop, they had time.
They didn't need a lot of time to do it, is what I'm saying.
Very rarely did I see a quarterback not have the time he needed to do what he wanted to
do. Wouldn't you agree that more often than not, the guy wasn't standing back there surveying the field? It was more the ball was out.
But I don't think that happens a lot in general.
You don't see Brady standing back there for a long period of time?
Oh, my God, look at the time.
I think he moves.
For whatever reason.
I didn't see quarterbacks distressed at all. That's my problem. And I'm not
talking
about
that. Because the ball was out of his hand immediately.
I'm talking about people in their face forcing him to slide or whatever.
I did see some of that. How many times we just say, oh, they just missed him? If they were a step faster.
See, I'm kind of in the middle here. I didn't see a lot of that. I didn't see a lot of pressure. But I also didn't see a lot of, sit back there, look around.
And there wasn't. But it was always what they needed. They had what they needed.
Exactly, because no one could cover anybody. That's why. They didn't need to wait.
But you knew they couldn't cover anybody.
But how can you get there in a half a second?
When you sign a corner off the street after training camp from a team that stinks defensively, you're not going to be great coverage-wise, which means your expectation is on defense. You need some help, right? I don't think they got the help they needed from the front seven.
I don't know if you're somehow trying to paint this out to be that I'm saying that they did a nice job putting together a defense last year, because I don't think they did.
Fred thinks they were fine.
No, I don't think he does.
But guys.
Sorry, John.
I think we forgot. I mean, there's a couple of obviously there's a, correlation between the front seven and the back, right? If the guys in the back aren't covering, can't cover, then the front seven are going to be less effective.
That's
vice versa.
Right.
The thing is, last year we had a ton of injuries on defense, right?
Well, I don't want to hear that, though. I mean, everybody has a ton of – yeah, they did, but everybody has a ton of –
we had to plug in a lot of rookies. Did that limit BB's creativity in terms of scheme?
I don't know. What happened in the first five games? I mean, to me, I'm falling somewhere in the middle of Fred and Andy on this argument. I don't think that the pressure was there. I agree with Andy on that, but I agree with Fred in that I don't remember there being this – seven-step drops. I'm just going to look. I remember Brady in the past, obviously not last year, looking around and surveying the field a lot more freely than any of the quarterbacks I remember last year that we went against. But Andy's point is you knew that was going to be the case, so you should have done something about it. I don't know what you do.
I think they underperformed.
You know what I want to see next year? I want to see more safety blitzes.
Until you can cover someone man-to-man, you can't do that. And Bill will be the first guy to say that. That's what we were talking about. They got desperate at the end of the year, and they had to just kind of throw caution to the wind. They got burnt doing that a little bit, too.
Yeah,
remember the plays that, it didn't matter because we blew Oakland out, but do you remember that guy, Johnny Lee Higgins, I think it was? You know, catching a quick slant over the middle, and all of a sudden he's gone, 65 yards. Why is that? Because he's one-on-one with a guy on the outside who couldn't handle him.
That's right, but we have a whole different starting lineup in the secondary this year.
Well, we'll see if they can.
And we
do
had
that.
A whole different starting lineup from the previous year last year.
If Lee Bond and Sean Springs and Tyrone Wheatley show the ability to go one on one without help, you're going to see Merriweather and Patrick Chung on blitzes.
No, I mean, I know Fred.
What?
Patrick Chung, huh? No, Fred's right.
He's not a starter.
If these guys pan out,
on third down,
you'll see
on
that.
The field.
You know, if Bodden can step in and be a legitimate NFL starter and Springs can be what he's been throughout his career, and some of the rookies can, Wheatley and Wilhite can step in.
Tyrone Wheatley.
Tyrone
Wheatley?
I'm not as worried about the outside linebacking position as most people are, I guess, because I think with the people we have on defense, I think we can bring pressure from different areas. It doesn't all need to come from the outside.
That was a theory last year, I guess.
I'm not just worried about outside linebacker.
Go to a 4-3 and bring in people that way. There's all different ways we can do it. I just want to see more creativity, I guess. I just felt like
that's one thing I'll never ever argue about.
I know,
with Bill Belichick.
I mean, we see a different formation on every snap. I think they're pretty creative.
And I'm not worried about outside linebackers strictly from a pass rushing standpoint. I'm worried about everything that position does.
Yeah.
Bill talks about how important that is with setting the run, setting the edge, and dropping into coverage and doing a lot of different things. And I'm not sure that the Pierre Woods and Tully Bantikanes are capable of doing
and
that.
And that's part of my problem is Vrabel could do it all.
Yeah. And he's done it all for 8 years.
Okay, these two guys together have the skills to do it all, but what happens when
one of them gets hurt?
When Crable's on the field and the other team's running the ball,
right,
and
yeah.
Woods is on the field and the other team's it's hard to scheme to always match up to what the offense is doing.
That's true.
Sure, I mean, 3rd and 17, put Crable on the field, they're probably going to throw the ball. But there's so much of offense that is you're not getting exactly what you thought you were getting. You know what I mean?
Yep.
That makes it hard. That's why having players in, the talk about Mawaluga and this guy slipped because he has to come off the field on this down. Well, that's why those guys aren't as valuable, and guys that can be on the field are valuable.
Gerard Mayo now
have a position. Gerard Mayo or Ryan.
All right, thanks for the call, John, Dallas.
Tyrone Wheatley. But
that's good.
McKenzie.
There's a lot. There's a lot that goes into it, though. I mean, I think with the linebacker situation, it's a little more complicated, I think, than meets the eye.
Hey, Matt from Dartmouth writes in. He says, Andy, there was definitely one, if not two, Dartmouth guys at the Combine. One of my clients, Ross DiBartoli, guard, defensive tackle, was one, I believe. Their quarterback, Granfield, was there, too. So
good to know the Indians represented.
Brought a little star power to that little tiny combine thing you had. I didn't notice any
football
quarterbacks from Dartmouth. No, actually, there was a couple of really good quarterbacks. I don't know where they were from.
It was windy, huh?
Yeah.
Did they struggle with that?
The wind calmed down a little bit toward the end when they were passing, so that was good for them.
What time was it? How long?
It started at the registration started around 4, and they started doing their stations at 5:30. So we went till about 8:15.
No offense, but why isn't this a weekend thing?
This
feels like it should be like a Saturday afternoon.
No, I don't know. Maybe in the few, but traditionally they've done it after school. You know,
where has it been in the past?
Last couple of years it was at Zavarian. I think in the past they've had it out in Worcester, I think, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just trying to paint the picture.
It's found a home now.
Details.
Yep. Found cool. a home now.
It's going to be here moving forward?
Yeah.
Forever?
Every year.
It's Fred's
Are
baby.
Are you going to run it every year?
I don't know if I'll run it, but I'll
Fred,
be involved.
You should be that guy. You should spot the kids at the bench.
Well, I was just thinking I'm going to have Andy involved next year. You know, come on. One more. Max
you
out.
You can do it. It's all you. It's all you.
There was a lot of that yesterday.
Was there? Who did the most?
I don't know.
Is
stats.
This like anywhere? Can I find the information?
Yeah, there's a guy that puts a book together after.
NFL Draft Scout?
There's a book?
Yeah, there's a guy.
How about online?
Well, we'll see what we can do.
I want to look at if you find them, can you forward them to me? I mean, I want to know the numbers.
Do you want
to
see how much better you can do them?
No, I just want to see the 40s and
you really do still harbor illusions, don't you?
I told you, Simeon Rice and Andy Hart have something in common. They both want to be in the NFL. They're both not going to be.
let's see. You have anything to tell me, Doc?
What was that?
Doc's doing all right. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number.
We brought up Simeon Rice because it was a post by Florio yesterday.
Yeah, he wants
about
to
him.
Play
he's
again.
Really. He says he's in great shape and
he wants to win a title.
He wants to get back in.
You want him?
And his agent has been shopping his services. How old obviously,
is he?
There's been no
68.
Yeah.
There obviously has been no interest. Otherwise, he wouldn't be
right.
pimping himself out like that. But
is he tweeting?
I don't know. Is that worth a look?
I look at everything. I leave no stone unturned. I look at him. Maybe I bring him in for a tryout on his own dime and, you know, see what he can do. But why not? Why not look?
Well,
sure
Andy,
they have.
Andy made fun of me.
Doesn't cost anything to
no,
look.
No, I think he's probably dead. I think he probably
No,
has.
He's probably mid-30s right now.
No, I mean, there's got to be a reason everyone's
ignoring.
He was
out for an injury.
Right.
I don't know exactly.
So my guess is the MRIs or some medical information out there is a major red flag that no one wants any part of.
Well, if he wants to play.
Speaking of that, by the way, Travis LeBoy, who is a guy that was generating some buzz around here because he played some defensive end and outside linebacker. Evidently, he is going to undergo ankle surgery and miss the entire 09 season. So I think that's one that we can cross
hurts
off
your
the
marketability.
List. Well, for the 09 season.
Shouldn't it be?
Certainly.
Low boy. Wouldn't it be la girl?
Le. Anyway, Aaron from Sterling, Virginia writes in his subject is, will rush passers for food? Love Tuesday show, probably Eric's best, he says. Eric's on vacation. So I had to download the show and listen to it on Wednesday and was psyched with all the Taylor will sign with the Pats talk.
Nice job, Paul.
Needless to say, as soon as I navigated away from the Pats website, I was shocked to see Taylor went back to those idiots in Miami. Great. We lose would have been Rookie of the Year Tyrone McKenzie. And now this. Talk me off the ledge, boys. Where are we going to get talent at this position? Crafty, talented linebackers had been the calling card of the modern-day Pats. What the heck are we doing?
Crafty, talented veteran linebackers had been the calling card.
I have to apologize for that. I really thought Jason Taylor was coming.
I think I was with you, Paul. I didn't think Miami was going to make him an offer.
Interestingly, though, you're mocking him for not wanting to win a title. But in the last week, Miami has joined forces with Jimmy Buffett, who is like the ultimate beach and drinking, relaxation, get high guy. And they're signing a veteran who has no intentions of working out and just wants to collect a paycheck. You might be onto something, Fred. What's going on down there in South Beach?
And, you know,
it's good for the Patriots, though. They'll win the division.
And it's Dolphins. Sharks, you know, one's a
dolphin
mammal.
Is not a shark.
I mean, that just doesn't make
right.
sense.
And T.O.'s starting his reality show up in Buffalo, so that'll be great.
Yep.
The Jets have a rookie quarterback, so division's over. We'll shoot for the number one seed now.
Chris from Bozeman, Montana. A lot of these Pats fans now are saying, bring back Sayo, bring back Willie McGinnis. Well, I say, why stop there? Have Belichick put in a call to Andre Tippett and Lawrence Taylor and have them platoon it off outside linebacker. What's that I smell? Championship. On a separate note, I don't mean to rub salt on an open wound, but I also wanted you guys to know that you were totally wrong about Terrell Owens, and I think you owe that caller from Texas an apology. He said the Patriots were a lock to go undefeated with T.O., and you guys really mocked him. What you guys didn't realize is that he didn't envision T.O. as just a wide receiver, but as an outside linebacker, too. T.O. has perfect height, speed, combo for an outside linebacker, 6'4", probably a 4'5". Plus, who has taken down more QBs than Terrell Owens? The guy absolutely destroys quarterbacks.
That's
Belichick really missed the ball on that one.
Are you kidding me?
That's why I was advocating the signing.
So,
guaranteed, undefeated.
Ask all the ask any expert or something. Still the greatest call we've ever had.
Fred thinks they're going to be undefeated anyway.
I never said undefeated. Did I ever say undefeated?
I think so.
No, I didn't.
Well, since you've never predicted they were going to lose a game, I'm going to infer from that.
Once I get into the season, I take it game by game.
And you always say win.
And I have a pretty damn good record.
Yes, so I'm going to infer from that that you're predicting undefeated.
Wait a minute. Who overall won the prediction yet last year?
You did. By a wide margin.
Both against the spread and overall.
It was a weird year.
By a wide margin.
Okay.
There was a lot going on last year. A year like no other.
Freddie, I'm fair. I give you credit where credit is due. You blew us all out.
Chris from Britain writes in. Now, people are still talking about this. Last week, I wrote an email offering a few objective discussion points about games being played in London.
That London feud is really good. That could get serious over there. You never know what they
do. Those hooligans.
Not taking any sides, just a few things that I thought were worth talking about. Then some douche wrote in the next show talking about my ignorance and stupidity. He started off the email like a coward, saying he didn't expect his email to be read on air, and it went downhill from there.
That's a lock to get Fred to read it, by the way.
He prefaced the email by saying he has always known that the Super Bowl was never going to be played outside the U.S., but failed to mention the longstanding friendship he presumably has with Roger Goodell that apparently means he knows more than everyone else. He displayed as little knowledge about soccer as he did about football.
Ooh.
The main reason England lost to Croatia was them sucking. The NFL game recently played there was not an insignificant factor in the mud bath that used to be a field that night, with vast swaths of field missing where the sidelines and trenches had been. There are more important points for a genuine discussion on this topic, but I don't want to make the email too long. The main point is this guy claimed to be correcting me. Hey, guy, if I want a 35-year-old, balding, 300-pound guy who equals still lives with his mother and has never had a girlfriend to inaccurately portray what I say and then attack it with some inaccurate points, I'll be sure to ask for you. Until then, you stick to using your right hand for that other thing and not typing stupid emails.
Ooh.
Chris from Britain. The Brits get very nasty when they get into arguments.
Why don't they all get in London and fight it out?
Maybe we'll have a
mano a mano.
You know?
I always say mano, you know.
Okay.
Sorry.
Webradio.com.
That really wasn't email for us. That was purely
for that guy.
Yeah, email and email war.
Cedric from Knoxville. Hey, what's up, guys? Keep up the good work. Taylor is gone, but don't blame that on the fact that he does not want to win a ring. He just wants to be with his family in Miami. Anyway, it's going to be a long season regarding the pass rusher situation because Pierre Woods is not a starter at outside linebacker pass rush. I got a question regarding Sean Merriman. I think that he's going to be a free agent at the end of next season. Is there a possibility to grab him?
Sure. We discussed that on Tuesday.
Yeah.
We don't want lights out.
Why? He wants to win a championship. I bet you he doesn't care about his family.
Championship? I don't want him either, Fred.
Yeah.
Why not?
Because I think he's overrated. DeMarcus Ware, however, I would take in a heartbeat.
And that's why you couldn't probably get DeMarcus Ware, but you might be able to get Sean Merriman.
This is true.
Fox,
I'm just judging on the games that we saw, and I didn't think he was a game-changing
player. He's part of the fraud
player.
Show, no question.
Yeah.
But my point is, if we're going to play the role of what could actually happen and not just pie in the sky, let's bring back Lawrence Taylor from the mid-'80s.
It's true.
Although I do think Tippett should just...
See, now the Oilers will wear those helmets, Freddie, you think, when we play the Titans, rather?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Well, they have the NFL Network has the old blue Oiler helmet on.
Yeah. Yeah,
not anymore. I think that's what the Titans will wear when we play Tennessee. That's a home game, too, right?
Remember the Titans.
I don't remember.
Fred doesn't remember the Titans.
I believe that's a home game.
Fox writes in, nice forecast on Taylor being a Patriot.
Sorry.
Continue to make us look bad.
I guess that means everyone will be talking peppers now. I think they'll find a way to make the defense strong with what they have, A record-breaking offense can make the defense better. We saw that in 07. I think Super Bowl 42 cannot be Belichick's deciding factor for how he runs his team. Whether Brady was hurt in that game or not, clearly he wasn't passing well, and he'd been rushed before, so my hat isn't tipped that much to New York's D. Do you think New England fans have a bit of annoyance toward Brett Favre? His wishy-washy playing has hurt us over the years. He played great. We lost the Super Bowl. He plays like crap, allowing the Giants, the one team that had a chance, into the Super Bowl. He plays good. He makes Castle's 400-yard passing and 60-yard rushing game meaningless. He plays crappy. Dolphins win AFC. We miss playoffs with 11-5. The thing Favre is best at is not going away. And P.S., Fred, so far no misspells in Patriots United. Guess they had spell check in 01.
They also had real editors.
Yeah, Fred was one of them.
No, but weren't they like real like yes. publishing editors?
Yes.
No offense to you, Fred. You do a fine job in PFW.
I'll let you know how that goes when I'm going through that process with my book.
Oh, you got your book going?
I'll hold my breath on that one.
Now tell us about this book, Paul.
No.
What? Everybody that's listening to the show will buy it?
I'm not prepared for that yet. I will. When the time comes, believe me.
You are working on a book.
I will use every shameless plug that I can get.
So you're working on a book?
Yeah.
So at night, like, you know, when the kids are in bed.
At night?
Okay.
No.
Or at 11 in his office.
or as soon as the show ends.
Do you go down the basement to, like, your writing nook?
No.
And everyone leaves you alone?
No.
And, you know, dad's downstairs writing?
No.
No.
How much do you think I would be able to get done?
I'm just asking.
Relying on something like that.
Yeah. I'm just wondering. No?
No.
Okay.
Interested in reading some what do they call them, like in TV, the dailies?
Yeah,
right, when they write the scenes they immediately get them read.
Yeah,
you interested in reading any of that?
No.
That's what Andy said to me when I asked him if he would.
You said, are you interested in, and I said no.
No.
Doing anything for anyone? No.
No. Ooh, good fight. The old Cincinnati
Radio.
Bengals helmets before they changed them to the stripes quite possibly were the worst helmets in NFL history. They were just orange, and they said Bengals
right
on the side.
And somebody wrote them on with a marker. They couldn't even afford stickers.
Those had to have been the worst helmets in the history of the NFL.
Let's see. Chris from Stamford, Connecticut says, hey, guys, you must be getting a bunch of email about Taylor. So I'll say is that I agree with Andy that if they signed Taylor this year, it would have looked like a really good draft. So I'm not so sure, although if they picked up Sean Crable this year, I might feel differently. He's kind of a forgotten guy in all this. I know that Bill Belichick, head coach of the New England Patriots professional American football team, who plays in Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Mass., has made a couple of personnel misjudgments before with the Deion Branch and Asante Samuel situations, but I have to think that he knew Taylor's chances of coming to Foxborough were slim. I just believe that he's got something else planned. If not, it's going to be a tough watching opposing quarterbacks set up shop in the pocket this year. On to this week's version of Roster Roundup.
Yeah.
In this rookie edition, pick the player.
Rookie edition.
Pick the player who has a better shot of making the final roster at some point this season. In other words, he can start on the practice squad and end up on the final 53 by December. Okay?
There's a lot involved with this game.
Oh, we don't have any choices to make?
Yeah, I'm going to give it to you.
Oh, okay.
George Bussey or Dan Connolly?
George Bussey.
Dan Connolly.
Yeah, George Bussey, but I don't think either.
Rich Ornberger or Billy Yates?
Billy Yates.
I think if I had a pick
Rich
between
Ornberger.
The two, I'm going to say Ornberger.
You're an idiot.
Brian Hoyer or Matt Gutierrez?
Brian Hoyer.
Paul?
I'm going to say Brian Hoyer, too.
Omar Cuff or Ben Jarvis Green Ellis?
Ben Jarvis Green Ellis.
Darryl Richard or Lekeven Smith?
Lekeven Smith.
Darryl Richard.
Oh. Antonio Appleby or Vinny Kirchhew?
It's Kirchhew.
Kirchhew.
However you pronounce Vinny Kirchhew's name.
Antonio Appleby.
Angelo Craig or Jason Taylor? Wow, that stings.
Apparently it's Angelo Craig.
Patrick Chung or Tank Williams?
Patrick Chung.
Yeah, Patrick yeah. Chung is
has
lot.
No possibility unless he
barring an injury
right,
that
breaks
he's on
his neck
injury
tomorrow.
Reserve.
Yeah. Darius Butler or Sean Springs?
Both.
Yeah, but you got to choose between the two. That's what.
But
makes
they're both going to be on the opening day roster.
In my opinion, they're both locks.
Okay, well,
How could they not be?
But that's the game. You've got to choose one or the
other.
Well,
it's a dumb game for
Darius
that
Butler, then, because they're not going to cut a second
round
pick.
That's what I would think. Julian Edelman or Terrence Nunn?
Nunn. As in N-O-N-E.
And now we get into the good ones.
Neither.
What about Andy? Edelman or
Edelman
Nunn?
Might be on the practice squad.
Edelman.
Oh.
Because Nunn he somehow might be was out of football.
Terrence Nunn's playmate, ex-girlfriend, or Giselle?
Giselle. I'd rather have the playmate ex-girlfriend.
No, but who's going to be on the roster by the end of the year?
Giselle. Neither.
Giselle.
The game spun out of control at some point and got stupid.
A new Patriots cheerleader or Eric's imaginary vacation girlfriend?
I'm not. No.
A new Patriots
cheerleader. We should probably address that. Do you think he comes home, comes back next week with a girlfriend?
From Providence? Isn't he at home? Isn't he in Providence?
It doesn't matter.
How tight-lipped do you think he'll be next week about what he did over the
Very.
Week?
Shut up.
Very.
Yeah, but do you think he'll come back with an imaginary girlfriend
no.
like he usually does?
I got to think he learns from that mistake.
What the hell are you doing?
Telling us the first day back that, you know, if I were to get married, she might be the one. I mean, are you freaking kidding me? How dumb do you have to be?
And he says this to Andy and Paul. I mean, is he on crack? What does he think we're going to do with that?
Probably one of the dumbest things I've ever heard in my entire life.
I wouldn't say that to, like, my brother.
Nobody.
There's no one I would admit that
to. I wouldn't
to.
Say it to and myself.
He says it to me and Andy. He's on crack. He has to be.
It just shows how desperate he is. I mean, he fell in love overnight. She fell out of love overnight.
Over Scrabble.
He's too smothering.
You think that's what it is?
You
Absolutely.
Think?
Absolutely.
Does he have the picture on his laptop still?
I don't know, but...
I was a little disappointed because I've been sending him the chapters as I've been writing them, Fred. He's been reading for me.
Really?
And I sent him a couple of chapters and, you know, earlier in the week. I sent him a chapter yesterday. He didn't get back to me. He usually gets right
Maybe
back
Maybe he had a date.
Maybe he's playing Scrabble.
This is the chapters in the book you're writing?
Yeah.
Wow. You're that far advanced?
I have 8 chapters written.
Wow. I'm proud of you. That's great.
I've been talking about this for like 8 years.
Well, I know. A lot of people talk about I'm going to write a book someday.
I'm finally getting around to trying to do it.
You've got 8 chapters. Now, what's the subject again?
You know what the subject. I can't really talk about it because I got to figure out.
Are you under like a.
It's kind of based on a true story, but it's not really a true story.
Somebody and gave you an advance?
And I'm going to need to change all
do
the
you
names
have an
to protect
Eric's
myself.
Love life?
Do you have a publisher?
No. No,
I have a friend who's a publisher.
Do you really?
Yeah.
I might have to talk to you about that a little bit, Doc. And I might add that you're doing a fine job producing this show, too.
That's good, because then when you're on the big show, you can say, you know, published author Paul Perillo.
Well, if it hits like he wants it to, I don't think he'll be on the big show.
Right, right. I might be on the big show.
Author working on his next book and not doing
and riding
sports
around,
anymore.
And riding around in my RV, going to college football games on Saturdays in the fall.
Wow.
That's what I would hope.
That's great, Paul.
That's what I would hope.
Because a lot of people talk about writing a book, and the percentage of actually
that
do it is
minuscule.
But I
have to change a lot of the details, and I really have no idea how I'm going to try to market it without getting myself in trouble.
Get in trouble. That'll help the book sale.
Yeah, I don't want. Yeah, I'm really not looking forward to dying.
Uh-oh, it's that bad?
Yeah.
Oh. Mike in Charlotte, North Carolina. Well, I was wrong about the Taylor signing by the end of the month, but as
Fred
you
was.
Said,
I mean, Paul was too.
It is hard Sorry. To pursue a guy who is willing to walk away from $8 million from the Redskins and sign for $1.5 just to stay in Miami area. As for the pass rush last year, I think the secondary was so bad that the quarterbacks were able to get rid of the ball quickly, and that, of course, will reduce the sack numbers. I think if the secondary covers people up, you will see the numbers go up. I think we have one of the best D-lines in the league, but they need more than 2 seconds to get off their blocks and get to the quarterback. I saw a lot of quick slants and quick outs against the pass last year that went for way too much yardage. Hobbs was one of the worst short yardage cover corners I have ever seen in this league in a long time.
No, it's just because you watch him a lot.
Bill will find some help at outside linebacker before camp opens. So,
somebody give me a name. I need a name.
Something will happen.
Beyond Simeon Rice.
Something will happen.
Lance Briggs.
Did you say beyond Simeon Rice? Don't mock me, you big-headed little freak.
On the phone right now is Mike in Puerto Rico. Mike, how you doing? Mike.
Hola.
Mike's gone. Oh, boy.
Good job, Doc.
I just had my eardrums.
Never mind,
Doc.
Good job. I meant
that literally.
I posted that
to Fred about 15 minutes ago.
So,
are you not reading your Google
We're
or whatever?
We're busy reading emails here.
Did
see.
You get Lawrence Maroney's Twitter yesterday?
No.
Just woke up from a well-deserved nap.
Joel, are you following Lawrence Maroney?
Yeah, and Vince Wilfork. I was trying to find players, and I did Rosenhaus. And I guess some weird person following me. How does that happen?
they find you through following those people.
But it was like, what was it? It was like Good Heaven 3390 or something.
And what are you asking me for? I've never been on Twitter.
How do I don't want them following.
So you go to them, and you bring them up on the screen. There'll be a little button that says block, and you just hit that, and they can't follow you anymore.
And John Hanna sent me a LinkedIn invitation this morning.
Yeah, he's big in LinkedIn.
Weird stuff.
He's big in LinkedIn.
This whole internet world, I just don't get.
Well, this whole community thing, the social web.
I don't like
social
people.
Social networking.
Yeah.
I'm finding that I don't like people in real life, and now I don't like people virtually.
And I noticed that it's really overtaking the news every night. It's like all the do's and don'ts of social networking,
right.
Facebook and MySpace and
but everything,
Twitter.
Not just in that way, but like the end of every CNN newscast, and you can join us on Facebook and Twitter and at this, at
right.
that. And they have like parts of their newscast where they interact, like the anchors have to do a little tweet while they're on the air, and it's just so stupid.
Well, there's just not enough people.
Jumbo Hart, by the way, at Twitter.
All this stuff. Let's see. On the phone right now is Jim from Texas. Jim, how you doing?
Hey, Fred. How you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Well, I'm sure you've been talking about Jason Taylor at some point today. Big news for us.
Jason No Ring Taylor. Yep, we're talking about him.
Well, as much as I would sit here and love to bash a fellow Miami or the Miami Dolphin. I got to give him credit. It wasn't about money. It was about his family, and it's hard for me to criticize any man for. He took what, $1 million, and he turned down clearly less money from even just us and probably maybe 10 other teams. So, you know, I wish him well. Yeah, he's probably not going to get a ring, but you know what? I think if you put him put a gun to his head and said, "Would you rather have a ring or be happy with and your family happy?" I think he would take his family situation. So.
I
mean, again, I'm not mad at him, but I hate that we got to try to block him for the next 2 or 3 years. But moving forward, though, what else you got? You got on the Pia Tiamaso guy.
Yeah, the only thing I've seen with him is he was in Buffalo yesterday visiting
right.
there, and it sounds like they are hot on his trail.
Yeah,
so.
He's going to sign in the next 48 hours. I mean, I would be shocked because he can play. He's valuable to teams. A team like Buffalo certainly could use some help there. They also would probably want. They'd have to have interest because they know the Patriots are going to have interest, and I think that is a factor in people signing a player like him. What do you think?
I don't think teams do a lot of that. I'm sure there's some, but I think they look at their own rosters and what they need to upgrade.
Yeah. But be as it may, though, is there anybody else currently out there that's a free agent that we could look at that's even in that ballpark figure?
Well, Paul wants Simeon Rice.
Well, he's done. He's
that's
been
that's
done.
Not don't Jim don't listen
done.
To the big head. I mean he's he's doing what he normally does.
Okay, but
no, but there
so.
Isn't there. I mean, I just find it. I know Nick Caserio was kind of emphatic in taking the Fred Kirsch approach that there's still plenty of time and there's ways to get people through free agency and trade.
Okay, how?
Yeah, that's kind of what I think. I think it's hard to do, and I think often than not you try to cover up with a Band-Aid like that, it doesn't work.
Well, if you look at this team the last, I'm going to go back 5 years, and when they've had perceived weaknesses by people in the media like yourselves and people like me who are fans and they follow this team very, very closely, there is a question mark at linebacker. That is fair. It's not unfair. There's a reason why people feel that way, and I think the opportunity for them to get better through the draft, which we all agreed going into it, they had to take a linebacker with their first pick, and they didn't. In fact, they didn't take one until their third or fourth pick in the draft. So there were players that could have come in, helped the team, Mali Aluga, Everett Brown, and I'm not to recap that whole thing. So they didn't do that. So then we all said, okay, well, that means we'll probably get a good in on getting Jason Taylor. Well, now that didn't happen. So now we're holding on to a straw, which is like, well, maybe Eric is right, we'll get that guy Peppers. But I really don't see that happening for a lot of reasons.
Right.
So I think that they did miss the boat on that, and it's like what you see is what you get. I just hope that they built up the secondary enough where it can mask any perceived pressure problem. They're going to have problems getting pressure on the quarterback unless they blitz. So because of that, you got to think, well, maybe some of these guys can come in and play. I hope to God that's true. But I have to say this, though. The secondary will be better this year because it was abysmal last year. Third and eight, teams convert, it seemed like every time.
Mm-hmm.
Where it was third and two, we could stop them on the run, but we could not stop the pass. So what do you think about all that?
Well, yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I think the secondary is going to be better. They shot higher on the replacements And I think some of the young guys might be able to play. So I think there's no question it has to be better, but I think it legitimately will be better. But is it better enough to cover up the deficiencies that, as you said, in the past, when we've pointed out deficiencies on this roster, some of the times we've been right with wide receiver and cornerback, and now it's linebacker that we all say they got to have one. The only thing I'll say is maybe Bill really, really likes Crable or Woods and is sold that he's got a star in the making.
Well, my theory on Crable is this. He's going to get every opportunity to succeed on third down. Because if you go into sub packages and you take either Brewski or the other middle linebacker out and you say, okay, guys, we're going to rush, we're going to take out a linebacker, bring in a corner or a safety, you on the outside get upfield and get some pressure. Crable, if he doesn't have more than five sacks and he plays significant numbers, then we kind of know where it's at. But he's a virtual unknown. And Red is the other guy that I know one of you guys on the show fell in love with him last season. But
me,
Andy.
Oh, was it Andy?
Yeah.
Are you still in love with him, Andy? Do you guys talk a lot?
I am still in love with him. But
tell the truth.
I'm hoping he hit the weight room. I was very disappointed in his upper body strength and physique. He had a lot of work to be done there to make himself an NFL physique and an NFL edge guy. And I'm comparing him to guys that are built like Adalys Thomas and Willie McGinnis and even Mike Vrabel, who didn't have the greatest
physique. He's a free agent, though, so, I mean, you can't have really high expectations. Crable was a third.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, and part of his undrafted was he had some issues with drugs in college, went from Virginia to Liberty. I mean, he went down a path that does not equate to high draft pick.
No, but the guy that, it was Rocco Bradway, something like that, one of the position coaches at Virginia, went to Liberty, kind of went with him.
Right.
He was an assistant under Groh.
Right.
Groh had, and then had a very good relationship, so it's, I mean, like I say, it's a rookie free agent. I have no problem. It was kind of like what Paul said during the draft. I'm going to take a gamble on a guy like that in the 7th, 8th round. We took Vollmer in the 2nd round, and there's as many questions on him, I think, with his back and, you know, the amount of years he's actually played organized football, and yet you're going to make him like the 2nd round pick. With there were people at that time that I would say that could certainly help this team. So, but hopefully somehow Fred will find a silver lining in this and say we're all crazy. Bill knows, and this guy who we haven't even considered this person yet, he's going to be the guy. So Fred, with that, lead us to victory, brother.
No, I'm just telling. Look, I'm
all right, Jim.
I'm telling you right now, you know. We're focused on outside linebacker because there's not a lot of depth right now at that position. You know,
by depth, you mean starter, right?
Yeah, no. You know, really, that's it. Otherwise, you know, we're in pretty good shape.
I agree.
And a lot of teams would be envious to be in the position that the Patriots are right now. You know, they're still going to win it.
And that's how it's done, Jim.
Hey, we have a MP3 by Mikey Vandalism.
Yes, nice.
So why don't we fire that up, Doc?
What's up, guys? At BFW in Progress, this is Mikey Vandalism coming to you from East Haven, Connecticut with another premium question. My question for this week is going to be about the outside linebacker situation for the Patriots. And how do you guys feel about it, knowing that Jason Taylor signed with the Dolphins? And what do you think their plan is? Do you think that they could trade for a possible candidate to come in and take that spot? Or do you think that they're content with what they have? They didn't end up drafting anybody, so that could be an option that they, you know, maybe they see something that we don't see with either Sean Crable or Pierre Woods. Maybe if you compare him to Vrabel before he left, maybe they just didn't see that big of a difference. But if they were to trade for somebody, who do you think would be a top candidate that would fit in good in New England?
All right, he's got some music going on now.
But then he pulled a Fred Kirsch and was going to the mic and back and forth.
A trade possibility. I really don't. I don't even have the first clue who might be. I mean, aside from Peppers.
Well, DeMarcus Ware is in the last year of his contract, isn't he?
Yeah, he's not a trade possibility.
Why?
Because Dallas isn't going to trade their best player.
What if we give him Randy Moss?
No, they wouldn't do it.
Who would?
Dallas wouldn't.
Dallas wouldn't. Bill would do it in a heartbeat. He would fall out of love with Randy Moss so fast. You're talking about a guy who's on his last year or two as compared to a guy that's in the prime of his career.
All right, so we'll have to do a little research in whom.
You know what I need to do? I need to see a backup that Bill can turn into a star. Who's a backup somewhere? A backup in
Pierre Woods.
No, he's a starter.
Well, he was a backup that he's going to turn into a star.
You know what Mikey Vandalism's MP3 sound like sometimes? Remember when
porn?
The first year that we did the podcast, the training camp podcast, and we were doing by ourselves,
and we just babble.
We would just start talking, and it'd be just, and another thing would pop into your head, and yeah, and then the offensive linemen were working with Dante Scarnecchia, and then they went to 7-on-7, and just like another thought would come into your head, and you just say it. That's a Mikey Vandalism.
More of a
MP3s.
Shot at his MP3s or us.
Both.
I think it's us since we're the professionals in this little comparison.
Joel in Merrimack, New Hampshire. Guys, I haven't mailed.
You polished off that entire thing.
No, I didn't. Alex had some. Paul had some. You had a lot.
Alex had some. He had one little piece.
And at first I was like, who the hell's Alex? Then I remembered.
You had a lot.
No, I didn't. I had a little sliver. Joel, you had at least half of it.
No, I didn't. Joel in Merrimack, New Hampshire says, I haven't emailed in a while. Hell, I haven't even been able to listen in a while.
Why?
Just tuned in today and heard that Jason Taylor went to the Finns again. I think the only person who was happier than me when he went to the Skins was Matt Light. Now, I think we have a problem. I anticipated that when Vrabel was traded, the Pats would get someone to replace him, not Pierre Woods and not Sean Crable or Vince Red. You know, as good as the offense will be this year, defense wins Super Bowls. I'm still not sure that Peppers would be a fit, but if they are willing to put up the bucks, I'll take them. Or do they turn Mayo loose up the middle a bit more? I'm not talking sacks as much as good pressure. Making a quarterback throw off his back heel is just as good as a sack. But without pressure, we're not going to beat teams like Indy or Pittsburgh. And to be honest with you, I don't really see where our defense has drastically improved over last year. What do you guys think? Keep up the great work.
I think they'll be much improved at corner.
And I think Mayo's a year older, you know.
Yeah, I do think that they are.
Yeah, Mayo.
Better. They are better, I think. On
Mayo's going to be better than he was last year.
I can't imagine that secondary plays as badly as it did last year. I can't imagine they go 0-for again with all their acquisitions in the offseason. I just can't imagine that. I think Wheatley and Wilhite should be much more prepared to contribute this year. I think Bodden and Springs are better than Webster and Bryant that they brought in last year. And Lewis Sanders. Mayo, I think that's a good point, Fred. You know, with another year under his belt, they should be better.
Contract year for Seymour.
They've really only lost Vrabel, right?
Well, Wilfork hopefully will.
It's still a contract year.
It is. It's a contract year.
Well, not if, I mean, if Fred thinks he's going to get signed this week or something to an extension. Is that what you're hearing? You feeling something?
No.
Down the pipeline, $100 million deal?
Nope.
The only difference really is Vrabel in the front seven, right?
Yeah.
Is gone. Yeah. And Brewski's a year older.
But I think that's offset by the fact that Mayo's a year older, too. He's even better. And you also have other guys, you know, to fit in that you didn't know about last year at this time. You know, guys like Guyton and whoever else.
Tank Williams back, healthy.
Lawrence Taylor. You know, you throw him in the mix.
Hey, guys, and Andy, I just have a couple questions.
Hey, screw you. Who's this, the lesbo from New York?
This is Sox Patriot somebody. Who do you think will play better as a unit, the linebackers or the DBs?
As a unit, the DBs.
DBs.
And who do you think will be the defensive and offensive coordinators this year? Will Dean still have the defense?
Yes.
And there won't be an offensive coordinator in a titular sense, but I think that person is Bill O'Brien. That was only cemented by his very vociferous and active role with the entirety of the offense throughout rookie minicamp. He
and
was,
I would agree with,
clearly the man in charge on that side of the ball. So I think everything we predicted about the Josh McDaniels advancement ladder of 1 year just calling the plays and then you get the offensive coordinator title in a titular sense. Can you get a title in a titular sense the following year?
Chris from Orlando said, just started listening. Glad we didn't get Taylor because he doesn't know whether he wants to play or not. We don't need a guy that wants to act. So I agree, Chris. Thank you.
Does he really want to act?
On the phone right now in Boston is Dwayne. Dwayne, how you doing?
Doing good. How are you guys doing?
Good.
What's up, Dwayne? Where you been?
Around, working. I actually have a job, so
I hear you.
Can't call in every day.
I hear you.
I just wanted to say one thing. I kind of expected for everyone to be down because the Patriots didn't get Jason Taylor. But I must say that I see a silver lining. And I have to agree with Fred. I think that this is the year for the Patriots, but I have a more concrete reason as to why I think that they're going to actually win the Super Bowl this year. I think that it all comes down to competition. One of the reasons why I'm glad that they didn't get Jason Taylor is because I think that what the team has been missing for the past few years, ever since they won their last Super Bowl, is actual competition at various positions. This year, there's actually a competition at the linebacker spot, and where youthful guys are actually looking to fight for a job. Now, say what you want about Pierre Woods or Vince Red or Crable. I mean, they may not have proven experience in the league, but I think that once you put them all into a mosh pit and they're all fighting basically for a job, all of them are basically fighting for a chance to stay on the roster this year, you have a chance that someone is going to turn out to be half decent.
Well, you know, competition does bring out the best, you know.
Remember when Beisel and Chad Brown were competing to play on the inside?
Well, see, that's different.
You're such a negative little man.
Those aren't young guys. What's that?
I mean, they sucked before they came here. I mean, these guys, they haven't even had an opportunity to suck yet.
Chad Brown certainly did not suck before he came here.
I mean, he was what, 39? I mean,
he was Sean Springs.
No, he was older than Sean Springs.
If I were to compare him, he'd be Sean Springs. And I would say Pierre Woods is Monty Beisel, a special teamer with a little bit of playing experience. Again, it was in this system, but at that point in his career where somebody's trying to make him into a starter, he's advancing to starter mode. I was being negative. I was just kidding with you.
Yeah, because that's what Andy is. He's a little negative
from
man.
From the little we saw Pierre Woods last year, he's a lot better than Monty Beisel was when he came here.
Yes,
right.
Because Monty Beisel didn't fit in on any level here.
Yeah, and they played different positions too, though.
But Beisel just didn't fit in. He was miscast in this organization,
in the locker room,
in everything, in every way. And I know he had some personal problems at the time, but he just did not fit in here.
That's more of the thing that I'm looking at. I'm seeing the fact that Belichick has kind of handpicked these players rather than picking them up as free agents. It's kind of... They've all gotten used to the system in one way or another, maybe not Crable as much, but Vince Red and
Woods?
Woods, yes, thank you. He's gotten some time to play on the outside in the system.
Clearly.
So they have gained some experience. It's possible that they can battle it out with Crable.
And that's a good point, is the experience, Dwayne, because that's another reason why I thought Taylor was perfect. Because of his experience in the 3-4 for Nick Saban. And another reason why I don't necessarily think it's just as easy to bring somebody else in. They don't have the experience in the system. They might not be quite the quick learner in the system and be able to contribute right away. So if you get somebody, in my mind, it might not be quite as good a fit as Taylor would have been.
Right. And I also look at the fact that I think that Bill Belichick has actually found a way to create competition at multiple spots in the team. Even when you look at the cornerback spot, I think that it's great that we don't know who the starter is going to be. I mean, in the worst-case scenario, I mean, no one hopes that this happens, but even Springs could find himself out of a job if he doesn't come to play. I mean, that's just the kind of competition that exists at that position. Even in the safety position with Patrick Chung, and I love what's happening at running back. When now we have Fred Taylor that's thrown into the mix, along with Sammy Morris and Kevin Falk. I mean, it's really hard for me to say who our starters are going to be at all of these positions. And personally, as a sports fan, I love it. And I want to see who's actually going to come out to play, because this is how stars are born. Stars are bred through competition. And the perfect example of that is Mike Vrabel. And another perfect example of that would be Adelius Thomas and how he came to be in Baltimore.
I like the theory, Dwayne. You actually sold me on it, because the more you left out tight end, which is another position where I couldn't name you who, and even the third receiver spot with Joey Galloway and Lewis.
Yeah, I think there's a lot.
You kind of sold me on that.
I think there's a lot of competition. I'm not so sure that that's a good thing.
I think that's a great thing, because when you look at the 2001 season, no one knew who Vrabel was before that season started.
Well,
Vrabel had to earn his spot on this roster. I couldn't even tell you who the outside linebacker was before Vrabel showed up in 2001. But I do know that he made his name after he fought to get that position. And I think this is another point. I think Belichick has kind of crafted another point where there's an opportunity for these players to create their position.
All right, you lost me, Dwayne. Now I'm jumping ship, because
2001 was a different case. You were building from a bad team.
You had no one here.
Now you're trying to.
I mean, I'll tell you who the outside linebacker was before Vrabel. It was Chris Slade, and they released him after the 2000 season. For that, so there was the spot opened up for Chris Slade was by cap purposes. I mean,
and
for Mike Vrabel on a bad team. I mean, I totally agree with you, Dwayne. I think there's a ton of competition in a lot of different positions. And I think that would be great for, I think you used the phrase as a sports fan. Well, as a guy who covers this team and has covered it for 10 years, I'm looking forward to this camp for that reason. And I think there are more jobs open than there have been. But I think from the Patriots standpoint, I'd just assume have it be the way it was in 04, 05, 06, 07. Most of those jobs, you know, with very few exceptions, you knew going in. You know, last year, who knew who was going to be the cornerbacks? No one had any idea. And that didn't work out very well. Hobbs, Fernando Bryant, Jason Webster, Lewis Sanders, Terrence Wheatley. No one knew who was going to emerge as the starter. And ultimately, when it all unfolded, no one really emerged as a starter. So
hey,
I
say two more things before I head out?
Sure.
First thing is that I can't explain it, but I just have a good feeling about Gary Guyton. I cannot explain it. I have no idea why, but
I like Gary Guyton.
I just think that he's someone that could potentially just blow up, or he could just fizzle out and be nobody. I could be completely wrong.
Or he could have a solid career as a role player.
I just pulled an Eric, but anyway,
you did pull an Eric there.
Gary Guyton. I'm with you, Dwayne.
I have a good feeling about him. I think that he's on. I think he might be on the path to greatness, but we'll see. And also, I hate hearing this all the time, so I just have to say it. I think that the cornerback position, that stalwart Ty Law, Asante Samuel type cornerback, I think that's the most overrated position in football. I'm sorry.
Oh, I don't know about that.
The reason why, I mean, mind you, it is a very good luxury to have, but I think that it is, in fact, a luxury. When you think about the past Super Bowl champions, since basically the Patriots stopped winning championships, none of them have a cornerback that just jumps out in your mind as the most dominant cornerback in the game.
No, you can win without one, but having one answers so many questions.
You can win without a quarterback, too. That's been proven many times,
too. Trent Dilfer won a
quarterback. But it's not exactly the way you want to try to go about doing it.
I think the reason.
But what I'm saying is that there's more examples of teams winning without a.
Well, but because simply
there's
few
corners.
Hard to have those kind of
there's
guys.
There's really not that many great corners on the planet.
Yeah, there's
fewer that. There may be fewer great corners than there are quarterbacks.
I know, but I mean, when you think about how much money you spend to keep that corner, on your team, and I mean, I'm just saying, I'm thinking of teams like Philly who paid to get Asante Samuel, and I'm thinking of the Jets and they overpaid to get Ty Law. I'm thinking of Champ Bailey in Denver. These teams, at least in this salary cap structure that's been in place, seems like when you overpay for that cornerback, they also are suffering at another position on defense. So then, even though they have this great cornerback, they end up, in the long run, hurting their team.
Well,
what I've observed. I could be absolutely wrong, but that's just from what I observed.
But I think what the Patriots had Ty Law. I mean, having Ty Law really helped them. You know, win a Super Bowl, you know, and because they had him, they were able to do things on defense you aren't normally able to do, you know.
I'll put it like this. Everyone wants Giselle Bundchen, but I think most people in this world be happy with Bridget Moynihan. And I think
I don't like Bridget Moynihan.
No, Bridget Moynihan is Ellis Hobbs to me. He stinks.
Well, exactly. This is what I'm saying is that
you can't win with Bridget Moynihan's.
Well,
her upper body's built like Vince Red.
That's unfair for Bridget Moynihan compared to Ellis Hobbs.
When I look at the Steelers last year, I mean, I think that their cornerback positions were filled with.
No, you're right. You can definitely win
I don't think Ike Taylor and was it Bryant McFadden was the other one? I don't think they're great players, but you know what? They played great last year.
And they had a pretty good pass rush.
They played great last year.
Steelers did have two guys with 14 sacks.
There's an example of where your front seven makes up for your secondary.
But I don't think they had a bad secondary. I don't think they had a great secondary.
Right.
We had a bad secondary.
Right.
There's a difference.
Yeah.
All right, that's all I have.
Okay,
all right, Dwayne.
Thanks, Dwayne. They also had Troy Polamalu back there who kind of covers up from some of those mistakes.
I just want to recap. Gary Guyton may be ready to blow up or fizzle out.
That's why I added in. Or he could be a solid role player for 8 or 10 years.
Sheila in Clearwater has some update on Simeon Rice. She says on Spike TV there's a show called Joes vs. Pros.
It's a good show. I haven't seen this season, but I like
that.
He was
on the episode that they showed last.
Did you see Antoine Walker on that, by the way?
I heard he's getting killed.
Yeah.
She said he was on the episode last weekend. He really looked good, but I had the feeling he was retiring. Anyway, just from watching him on the show, he looked great. If he was hurt, he isn't any longer. Maybe that's why he's trying to come back. So,
well, I mean, you can do things like that that you wouldn't necessarily be ready to.
What is Joe's for his pros? They
it's a
box?
Show where it's all sports where retired athletes or, in Pac-Man Jones's case, I guess, active athletes compete against just Joes, people that want to, you know. Guys like Paul, who always dreamed they could be superstars, would get to hit off Roger Clemens.
I'm not the one that puts myself in the same sentence as Simeon Rice.
I'm just saying.
That's you.
Simeon Rice and Andy Hart are the same person.
Yeah, not one NFL guy had a 10-year NFL career, and the other guy was a
not here
backup special teamer at Tufts.
Not here to talk about the past.
The other guy quit his teaching job after 3 days.
How the hell is that relevant?
I don't know. It's a good shot, though.
It is a good shot, but it's not relevant.
Larry the Drunk writes it.
Friend the Drunk.
He says,
Larry.
I really don't know why people think Dennis Thomas was so great last year.
I agree with Larry the Drunk.
Honestly.
Not surprising.
All I have is two outstanding memories. The first being him dragging down Leon Washington and Brett Favre for a 15-yard
great
sack
play.
In garbage
great
time
play.
In the fourth quarter against the Jets. And then the second is him walking off the field holding his forearm against the Bills. To be honest, he escaped my attention.
Not such a great
for
play.
A lot of the time last season.
So what we've learned here is when your $30 million linebacker who's 6'6" and 275 pounds is lined up one-on-one with a running back who's 5'8", 190, he wins those one-on-one matchups.
Oh,
that's good to know.
But that was a great play.
You're an ass.
Why don't you just say that was a great play?
It was a good play.
It was a great play.
It was a good play.
It was a great play.
Good play.
You're being
overrated.
Stubborn. You're being very Paul-like
but
today.
I agree
with
Larry.
I'm going to tell you right now, you're being very Paul-like.
Adalys Thomas's 2008 season gets better every time I hear about it. Like, the pace he was on, he was going to have this many sacks. He was doing very well. He was having a good year. I think he's played well since he got here. He has not been an impact player. We've had this argument many times.
He hasn't wowed us.
It's
a very common thing. When a guy gets hurt, he suddenly became a much more integral part of
Tyrone
the package.
Wheatley was really starting to play well when he was...
Well...
Terrence Wheatley wasn't doing bad either.
Let's see.
Oh, and one just a quick note. Sebastian Vollmer... I know everybody likes to point to the back issue because it's a major injury.
That reminds me.
He hasn't missed anything since he had surgery. Not a single rep at practice. He started 26 straight games.
My concerns about that are back injuries don't generally get better as you go.
I know, but it's not been an issue ever since he had the surgery.
But it's bound to be.
I don't necessarily
assume
that. See, I think if it were going to be an issue, it would have popped up on some level already. 2+ years removed from surgery and not a single issue.
I think of Pat Harlow when I think of that, a guy who had some back problems coming out of college.
Yeah, but that was back before they had MRIs.
Okay.
Back
before they had back surgery.
Speaking of Sebastian Vollmer.
Sprechen Sie Deutsch?
They did a German interview with him with the German press. 33 minutes of German
Chris,
back and forth.
Chris was getting that on the website yesterday.
Yeah. He's the first German national to play in the NFL, so it was pretty cool. So we'll keep doing those.
He is the first European-trained player drafted.
And now we have a Jamaican radio station that wants to kind of follow Patrick Chung's career. So we're going to own Jamaica.
You're making that
up.
You know how I make those jokes all the time about the Patriots always that they always would have won every game that they didn't play in? You know, had they not lost to Denver in the 05
playoffs. Adalys Thomas would have sacked every quarterback he played?
Right, well, along those lines, one of the emailers that talked about Brett Favre. I don't know if it was an email or a phone call or an email.
Or just popped into your head.
No, it
could have been a book I'm writing.
It was in the show. Talked about Brett Favre and how he's always killed the Patriots. He's either played well.
Email.
He's played well against them, and then he's played badly, and he slipped it in there. He played badly against the Giants, the only team that could have beaten the Patriots. So there's another game the Patriots would have won if they had played someone else. Like, if he had thrown a touchdown in overtime, there's no way Green Bay would have upset us in the Super Bowl. I still can't believe we lost that game. I can't believe I even
I also want to mention Brian Lowe on Patriots Today yesterday had a one-on-one with Lee Bodden. So if you want to watch
Did
that.
Did he beat him?
So that's on Patriots Today right now, and – He was covering the combine last night.
For me.
And next week's Patriots Today, you're going to see what I was talking about today, the high school combine.
Yesterday.
That was very succinctly
put. Quick note, did you know Christina Acra is hosting a American Idol-like show that's actually older than American Idol on SBK in Boston with Jammin' 94.5's Ramiro?
Really?
It's
Community Auditions?
Yes.
That's the old Dave Maynard show. Yeah.
It's like
Star of the day, who will it be?
Well, I guess it went away
hold the key. It's up to you.
It went away.
Talents who will be star of the day.
It went away for like 20 years.
I didn't know the whole song.
Oh, yeah.
And now it's back. Some guy in New York bought the rights to the name and the whole idea, and it's back. And there's another host that got injured or something, so Christina Acra is filling in
for like Lou Gehrig. That other actress will never get her job back. Wally Pipp.
I don't know about that because Christina has a job here. And then
Paul knows what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah,
yes,
we're just wondering.
Why did you know that whole song?
I used to watch that show religiously Sunday mornings.
Is it just like
Dave Maynard?
It was like the lowest budget
on
TV.
It was Wayne's
like
World.
Dave Maynard, who's a WBZ radio personality from years now, he's retired now, but he would host this show, and it was just local. You know, the next one is, you know, Bobby Sue from Dartmouth, and she plays the trumpet, and she would get on, and then they would vote.
And they would vote at the end. It'd be like, you know, eight or ten acts or whatever.
But what do they get?
Oh, I don't know.
They'd move on.
A record deal.
No. Yeah, so they'd have like,
just locally, not national?
Yes.
Yeah,
local.
Just locally. And then at the end of the year, they'd have like the best of the best compete. But some of these people were just god-awful. It was just hilarious.
Kind of like you singing.
You know, the magician that would, like, drop the cards, you know?
Is this your card? No?
No.
How about this one? This one?
It was hysterical.
Well, I just wanted to, like, because we actually got a couple SPFWs saying, was that Christina Acker I saw hosting community
great.
Auditions?
Yeah, no, we're partners with Channel 4 and BZ in 38. They own 38 as well.
Channel 4 and BZ.
And so they're giving her a little work. That's good.
You pick up on these things so much more than I do.
When you're a ball buster, you tend to focus on these little things.
I would imagine that having her there would distract some of the people trying to, you know, show their wares.
You are obsessed with uncomfortable topics revolving around her. Whether she's here or not, you always make it awkward.
Well, you know, she's our in-house talent, you know?
So is B-Lo, but you don't make that awkward when you talk about him.
He's the one that gets distracted.
There's some interesting judges on that show, too.
Who?
Who else is on it?
Ayla Brown, Ernie Bach Jr., Gail Huff.
Who are people I hate? Who's Gail Huff?
Ayla Brown's
mother. She's a
mother.
Channel 5.
Ayla Brown's
mother. So it's Ayla Brown and her mother with who?
That's
the other
right.
One?
That she is Ayla
Thanks.
Brown. Yeah.
Who's the other one? Who'd you say in the middle? Oh, Ernie Bach.
Ernie Bach.
Ernie
no
Bach
one
Jr.
spends his money to keep himself in the public limelight more than him.
Ernie in the Automatics.
Nobody, like every radio station you tune into, he has like a $100 giveaway so he can come on and talk.
Yeah, he's a clown.
Like he's the biggest self-promoting egomaniac I've ever heard of.
I shouldn't just
and the
make
annoying
a blanket
glasses
statement that he's
the
a clown. Evidently, he does a lot of good stuff
oh,
for
he
charity,
does.
So I shouldn't call him a clown. But he is a guy who's
infatuated
with the sound
he's
of his
He's not one
own
of those
voice.
Guys behind the scenes doing it.
No, right. I think he does a lot for charity, so everybody will say, hey,
wow,
he does a lot for charity.
Charity.
I mean, he looks like a used car salesman. I know he sells mostly new
he
cars.
He sells cars.
But they're new, to be fair. I mean,
they're
most
new
of
to
them
you.
Are new. New to you, anyway.
Pre-owned.
Zach in Florida, love the show. Just started listening to you guys like a month ago, and I can't get enough of you. Now, Zach in Florida.
Now, you is me, right?
Really brings me back to Massachusetts. Miss it up there. But, yeah, Jason Taylor signed a one-year, $1.5 million contract, which is insane. This is obviously the last year of his career. Why not win a ring? And I'm pretty sure we would have paid him a lot more. What's our cap space right now? Well, actually, after we sign all the draftees. We don't know.
Supposedly, according to John Clayton, we did offer him a lot more.
Yes. And according to Mike Reese, $4.7 million is the current cap figure. available. Little question.
Is that counting or not counting the draft picks?
It has to be not counting.
Is he subtracting the
rookie
pool?
It has to be counting because the draft rookie pool is $6 million.
So he's
you don't have to spend it.
So, but after that $6 million, you have 4-7 left?
I don't think so. I think that does not include that money.
Good. I'm glad you guys gave it a lot of thought.
I believe you have to fit it in under there, so they may have to tweak some things to get it done or whatever. But a question I had was, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers currently have somewhere in the range of $32 million under the cap. How are they going to get up to the floor?
23. Isn't it 87?
Well, I think thought it 80, was 100.
I think 87 is the floor, right?
Oh,
87.5.
I thought it was like 26 million from the ceiling, and it's like 124 or 126 for the year.
I want to say it was 87 something. It's eight. Is it 85% or 75%? I think it is a percentage of the cap.
I thought
that's
it was
the floor.
I thought the number this year was right around 100
but
million.
You might be right. You might be right. I don't.
So
I don't
are they
know
just going to start giving out extensions to someone?
Well, that's why they just signed a guy for their front office, a cap guy,
right?
Who had like no background in football at all. He's not really even a money guy. Not like a cap guy. He's like a. It's a really bizarre hire. And then Florio made the joke saying they probably should have hired the guy who negotiated this guy's contract to be their cap. Cause this is a guy who knows really nothing about the NFL and its inner workings, and he's going to be negotiating contracts and fitting him in the cap.
I just feel like they're going to have to start giving rookie free agents a $1 million deal to get up to the floor. Oh, here's my guy Bard. It's Radio Paul.
What are we doing here? We're watching TV
just
on
so
the
you
radio?
Know. His ball explodes at the plate.
let's see. Who's
yes,
this
we're watching
now?
TV on the radio. That's
Roy. Roy from the San Francisco Bay Area says, hey, guys, big fan of both your written and recorded work. So there you go.
Well, thank you.
Now that Jason Taylor is a land shark again and Julius Peppers is refusing to sign his tender, not really smart, who's left to fill the outside gap? Looking at the free agents that are still out there, the picture is not rosy. Derek Brooks, kind of short for Bill's taste. Carlos Dansby, do you see the Pats trying to work a trade with the Cardinals for him? Did he sign his tender? Terrell Suggs, do you see the Pats trying to work a trade with the Ravens for him or anyone else?
I don't think any of those franchise guys are possibilities financially.
Okay.
I don't either.
Even if you wanted them. Now, you know my reservations about Peppers. Dansby, to me, would have to be an inside linebacker here, so I don't think you'd be... I don't think he fits the mold of a Patriots outside linebacker, so you wouldn't invest in him. Suggs, I think, would be a decent fit, but, again, financially, I don't think it's feasible.
I'd love to see a guy like Suggs come here, but it's just not going to happen. I mean, the franchise guys aren't necessarily options.
No.
I know that the Peppers case is unique in that he's openly trying to get traded and
right.
and all that, but I don't think the franchise – don't just look around at all the guys that are franchised and say we can trade for him.
No.
It's a very hard thing to do.
Do what I want to do. Look at backups and see who you can turn to a star. Speaking of hard things to do.
That's easy.
Just a quick update on Daniel Bard, who on Sox and 2 on Nesson is making his debut. Dude throws gas. Ball explodes at the plate. Paul Perillo, maybe special.
First three pitches is a major league. Strike one, strike two, strike three.
Absolute gas.
Second and third and no outs.
It only said 97, but get out of the way of
that
the 78.
That was a curve.
Yeah, I know. But when you're looking for a 98-mile-an-hour fastball, sometimes you get hit with one of those 78-mile-an-hour curves.
Speaking of both Boston Bruins and Celtics win tonight?
I think the
Bruins
win, and I think the Celtics lose.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm not sold on the Celtics. Did you see the big baby hair resemblance? He's got a little bit of that going on. The hair on top of his head, Alex?
Oh.
We just call him by first name.
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit.
It's a little long. It's not as bad.
No, it's definitely not as noticeable.
Not bad
because
at all,
he has,
by the way, Alex. I love it.
He has the hair on the side, whereas right. Big Baby's kind of more clean-shaven on the sides.
Chad from Montpelier has some issues with Andy. He says he's a douchebag.
I agree.
Just thought I would take a moment to comment on just how much of a douchebag Andy was on Tuesday's show. It's Disney World, the happiest place on earth. You have kids. However, you refuse to take them there.
Yep.
One can assume from this that you either don't want your kids to be happy or are selfish enough to put your comfort and well-being before their happiness. As to your complaints, it's expensive. Trust me. You will spend the next 22 years forking out massive amounts of money on your kids. Disney World is a drop in the bucket. Wait until you see how much ponies cost. Two, and he'll have them on his property.
Well, I might just get a full-size horse.
Two, long lines, cleanliness, and people. Yes, the lines are long, but mostly for the rides that would make you queasy. You won't go on them, so no problem.
That's
saddle
true.
Up to
you
a
wouldn't
teacup,
have any
you,
problem with lines.
Saddle right? up to a teacup, you pussy.
Teacup
also,
spin, don't
they? Disney World is incredibly Blech. Clean for the amount of people who visit there daily. Trust me, they've got their SH together.
Sugar honey iced tea.
I'm sure they do. They've been very successful at what they do. I will just never go. There's a chance we go to Florida and my wife takes the kids to something and I go somewhere else. I won't be in attendance. I will not be spending $75 to stand in line and watch my kids on rides.
Say what you will about Paul and his random outbursts in stores and love for NAMBLA, but he understands Disney World isn't about his enjoyment, and he offered to take your kids as well.
And I said I would let Jackson go.
I will. I would love to take Jackson.
In short, grow a pair and in 4 or 5 years, take your kids to the damn amusement park. P.S., I use my truck to rip out trees all the time. It's awesome. It does destroy them, though.
Well, see, that's it. I wanted to remove it and replant it, and it looks great.
Does
no
it?
Drooping, no, like, my mother said the leaves would start to wilt if it was going to be kind of sick. And
right away?
Right
it would happen
now,
right
yeah.
away?
Right now it looks wow. tremendous.
Now someone's
Mama
after
Hart,
Paul.
When, you know, when did she turn into, like,
she,
this?
Show, she has a green thumb. She likes the gardening and
wow.
stuff. And
good for
what
her.
What do you call her, a whore? The culturalist?
Oh, jeez.
I was like, what?
Our next email is after Paul.
You got to get
good email.
What does this have to do? Bill and Vail, Colorado? Excuse me, Paul, but I've been listening to the show for about 3 years
oh,
now.
Oh, that's the guy that
you pompous
made fun
ass.
Of
oh, this is the guy that accurately noticed that Zolak had you overmatched.
Yes, yeah. I was all flutter.
Oh, excuse me, Ars. Why do you think I busted
Ars.
You for the I was going to say that routine? If you remember that Cliff didn't do so hot at the beginning of the Jeopardy episode. If you recall, Norm commented to Woody that he could see Cliff sweating from the audience. Go back and watch the All Access guys. Tell me what you think. Jeez, Paul, you're always the one telling me the fanny farmer, Eric, to not take things personally. And I said, Andy just snarfed his soda.
Because I've never heard that one before.
He tells Eric to not take things personally, and I say one thing that goes along with the show shtick, and you act like I stole your lunch money. Maybe the truth is my comment about being out of place in the interview with Zoe was a little close to the truth.
Well, that's utter ridiculousness. But I will say, the last thing in the world I ever want to be compared to is a fanny farmer. So obviously I was a little sensitive with that, so I want to apologize. I have already apologized off-air, Fred. And I will apologize to Bill and Vail, Colorado.
Are you having conversations with our listeners off-air?
Yes, oh, very much so. It's part of my book research. But I don't want – I do make fun of Eric for that. He's very sensitive, and that's the last thing in the world I want to be known as.
Lies, too.
I didn't know it was a joke. I thought it was serious. My apologies.
Okay.
I apologize 1,000 times. Again, do not want to be compared to a fanny farmer.
So you were intellectually overmatched by Zoe.
By Bill in Vail, Colorado.
Oh, by Zoe.
Oh, no, I was all a flutter, evidently. I've never been on TV before. I was nervous.
TG
on All Access, no less.
TG and Joyzy, we're all worked up about losing Jason Taylor and what that means for the Pats. What about what it means for the Dolphins? The Finns could be the hardest out for the Patriots in the AFC East this upcoming season. We could be looking at Taylor and Peasy lining up together and making Matt Light wish he was still dancing with lizards and Brady wishing he stayed at home with Giselle and the paparazzi, not to mention the second coming of the Wildcat offense with Pat White. And they still could utilize Ronnie Brown as well, a double-headed Wildcat. Belichick will be having fits trying to figure out how to stop it. If they could run the Wildcat all day and the Pats' inept linebacking core won't know what hit them. Not to mention Chad Pennington usually plays very well against the Pats, and don't forget, they did win the division last season. Fred
did.
You're only looking at the Patriots when you make your outlandish predictions. Maybe you should check out the competition before you say anything. You don't have to look farther than the division to contest your Super Bowl prediction.
Is that Dolphins fan?
Wow. Is that Dolphin Paul from the
TG
old...
No, it's TG and Joyzy.
Oh, really? TG.
Let me tell you something.
Well,
Patriots,
I think you've already said everything that you have
be
to tell
better
us.
Than the Miami Dolphins.
You've already said all the somethings that you have to say.
Hey, on the phone right now is Scott from Atlanta, who bought us lunch today. Scott, how
you doing?
Thank you
very much, Scott.
Guys, how are you?
Good. We appreciate the lunch. It was great.
Good, good, good. I'm glad everything got there well. I'm not listening live, obviously, but are we in crisis mode without Taylor signed?
No.
No, not
at all.
Okay.
I'm disappointed.
And I don't think we're as good as we could have been had we signed him. But.
We thought he was into winning a championship before he retired. Apparently he isn't, so yeah, good riddance.
I didn't think it was a must-signing, as I wrote last Friday on Patriots.com's Debate Friday. I didn't think we had to have him to be a great team. I would have liked to have had him. I think it would have made us better.
Yeah, and I agree. And I agree with you guys. I don't think we're in crisis mode. We'll be fine. In Bill we trust. Hey, one comment on the Twitter thing, and I know this has been – you guys have talked about this a lot. I used it that weekend of the draft, and I thought it was great for the reason that I was out of town, away from a TV. We were actually on a golf trip with the guys, and that was the only way that I could have kept up with the draft. So whoever was doing that at Gillette that day, you know, really was able to keep me, anyways, informed of what was going on in the draft, because I couldn't get near TV.
Thank Bill Belichick. I think he was the one that was sending out all the tweets, right?
Yeah, was he? Bill did a hell of a job then.
Quick thumbs.
Yeah, he did a heck of a job. But look, guys, I'm glad lunch got there well, and I'm glad you enjoyed it. And keep up the great work, and we'll do it again soon, okay?
All right, thank you, Scott. We appreciate it.
Okay, guys, be good.
Scott from Atlanta.
Now, you didn't tell him that the fried dough sucked. But
well, it's not his fault.
No, we also didn't tell him that. It got here at a good time, but we had to kind of rush through it because Alex Smith was coming in.
We had a damn guest.
No, I don't think it was – I think – that had been sitting around at their place.
Yeah, maybe. That wasn't good. It was a leftover from another order or something.
Something like that.
The competition.
Yes.
Not only in the division, but in the entire National Football League.
Yeah, not good.
I don't think there's a lot of competition once again for elite teams. Now, I may be wrong, but
yeah.
Paul and I were talking about, like, Indianapolis. I think they could have a tough year.
They could.
Losing their head coach and all their coordinators.
Yeah.
I mean, a different defense. They're expecting more and mud to retire.
Are they talking about that as much as when the Patriots lost their coordinators?
Well, it's just happening now.
Yeah, and it hasn't even happened yet.
They're
assuming
even know for sure
that mud
is out
and Moore is out.
Well, because Mud has to retire, right?
Well, they both
and
do.
Moore.
It's a similar situation.
They don't have to. They're choosing to.
Right. They don't want to lose all their money. They need to go out now. I guess it could cut their pension like in half, the money that's involved. And I don't understand the entire issue. I know the Patriots are one of nine teams that have opted out of the NFL pension plan. But as I was saying to Paul, the muddy water is, it's not just the team you work for now. It's any team you ever worked for, because your pension is kind of, obviously assistant coaches, most of them have like, they've probably played coach for half the league or a third of the league. So their pension is tied into all those places, and it's kind of a complex issue financially.
And the league pays the pension, right?
No, the teams, and they've opted out. Your New England Patriots have opted out. Remember last week when I said, can you ask Jonathan for more details about this? And you said, I will, and then you ignored me and had your little combine and haven't done anything since.
Right.
You had to go down and get Gatorade.
Can you ask Jonathan about that?
I will.
Or, you know, get some knowledge that you can bring to me, some background on the issue. Because it does sound like it's a pretty complex issue that I think we should know more about. But getting back to the main point.
Well, you had a good – I mean, there isn't a guy that's been with one team much longer than Dante Scarnecchia. What happens with him?
Right. So, I mean, I don't think it's a possibility. I haven't heard anything about it. But it's one of these issues that all of a sudden you read Dante Scarnecchia retires as Patriots offensive line coach. That's basically what they're dealing with in Indianapolis.
Right.
And I think they could be – I know Harrison didn't play a lot last year, but – they're going over a lot of changes in that offense and the core of that team within a one-year span here that I think could really hurt them.
Austin Colley. You remember that name?
Yeah, I saw him. I don't give a rat's behind. They're going to stink.
I think they are going to struggle this year.
I think they'll
be lucky to squeak out 10 or 11 wins, Fred.
Yep. No playoffs for them. The Titans take a step back. It's the year of the Texan.
I think the Titans will be okay.
They're going to stink.
Unless something happens to Terry Collins.
Do you really think Collins is going to have another year like he did?
Tom Collins. Yeah.
Haynesworth isn't there.
Yeah, as long as he doesn't get hurt, I think he'll be fine, because I don't think he had a great year last year.
Their defense is going to stink. Their running game won't be as good. Collins won't be as good.
Right.
And they're not going to make the playoffs. And that's why it's all between the Patriots and the Pittsburgh Steelers.
All right, well, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Thanks for listening. Thanks for emailing, calling in. If we didn't get your email, we apologize.
Thanks
for
lunch.
We had a lot of them. Thanks for lunch, Scott from Atlanta. And we will see you next Tuesday.
That'll do it. Another PFW in Progress. We'll be back next week.
Yeah. Yeah, God, yeah.
Patriots.com Radio.